The Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what it's about you, but I can't even stand your voice.
You know what? He's Mr. Tough Guy when he's standing behind a microphone.
I think you're the biggest asshole alive.
I'll say kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it, come on, god damn it. Put you one time, kick it, what the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go, he'll ad-lib, he'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
So they got the COVID-19 best practices poster up in the men's room. Mm-hmm. I assume the ladies' room, too.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Here's what you do. Now you know why I insist on mic condoms in my studio? Because you never know who could be doing what around here or not doing what. Just washed my hands right before the show.
Good job.
Just to make sure that, you know, if anybody wanted me to...
shake their hand, touch their baby.
Touch their. I'll tell you what. Not a day that goes by, if somebody's not walking a baby through this place. Oh, boy.
Oh, Alan, touch my baby.
Touch my baby. Hey, I'm Alan. Thanks for showing up. Welcome. Say hi to Bill Squire, who's right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of the Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share a cold one with the boys.
There's Mary Santora.
Hi, guys. No babies.
And Pound Cake is back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
It's only Tuesday. I know the clocks went ahead an hour on Sunday, but I feel like they went ahead 24 hours. Today feels like Wednesday. I don't know why. It's clearly not. It's only Tuesday. And then tomorrow is Wednesday. Let me check my calendar.
Bro, you know days so well. I always like people are like, what's Alan really like? I'm like, you know, he knows the days.
Days of the week, nails them.
Weekends, mixes them up. Weekdays,
Alan,
solid.
Can rattle off a calendar like you would not believe.
The Saturday, Sunday we're still working on, but Monday through Friday.
Well, I'm only here Monday through Friday. Those are really the only ones that I've got to keep straight. And then Thursday we have a short show because we're airing a spring training tribe game at 4 o'clock. And then we're all going to go over and hit some balls over at Topgolf.
That's what's fun.
Topgolf, Alan.
Yeah, Topgolf.
Going to Topgolf?
Maybe Poundcake will meet his husband's dad.
His future father-in-law.
Could you imagine if you found someone over there, Poundcake? We're over there hitting some balls, and you, like, meet somebody, and it becomes a whole thing? And then you're dating a golfer.
That'd be very ironic.
There was a guy
that... Certainly didn't expect that.
At my appearance on Friday at Panini's in Brunswick, there was a guy that works at Topgolf, and he did the Papa Shot Challenge, and then I was like, hey, we're going to come there on Thursday. And he's like, cool.
Is he cute?
Say what's up.
He probably wasn't gay.
I was going to say, was he cute? Was he gay?
I don't know. You guys can find it out. He was seemed like a good-looking guy, I guess.
Did he have a wedding ring on?
I don't know.
No, that doesn't mean
I don't think so.
Also, that's a guy being straight has never stopped you, Poundcake. I know you've turned over a new leaf.
It's a workouting.
I know.
I don't want to get caught into the office again.
A workouting. Poundcake, could you come in here, please? We understand that you made out with someone... At Topgolf?
Wait, we can get in trouble for making out with someone on a workout?
No, it's not even a workout.
Getting trouble. You guys
But it's not
trouble.
A workouting. Yeah. It's just something that we said we should do, and then I made a reservation, and now we're going to do it.
Okay, well.
Because we're off early. Yeah, it's not, you know, we're out there dicking around.
People.
Because gazebo time was
out.
On a workouting.
Gazebo time was at the end of a workout.
Yeah.
I've never made out with someone on a workouting.
No, all right. The year is still young.
Yeah.
The year is still
thing
young.
Thing is, your girl didn't snitch, Bill. My dude did. He sang like a canary.
To whom?
To you guys in Jamaica.
He was like watching us do the show.
Not even that. Like Jamaica. Literally come down the elevator the next day, and he's sitting there in front of everybody. I'm like, oh my gosh, why is he up this early? We left like at the crack of dawn, and he was there. Oh, you guys would never guess what I did last night.
Right, but we already knew that was going to happen. It wasn't like he was pulling the curtain
but
back.
I didn't tell you guys.
I would have been surprised. No, you weren't going to tell us because I think you were embarrassed.
I wasn't embarrassed. I just...
He should have been.
Why? Was he ugly? Was he ugly?
Honestly, I don't remember what he looked like, and I guarantee you Poundcake doesn't either. So it's a moot point.
He looked like, let's see, Christian Bale in The Machinist.
No!
No, what, really?
Just a skinny, gross.
Oh,
I wouldn't say gross, but he was definitely like a super skinny dude.
Yeah, he was super skinny, but he wasn't hideous.
Did you see his hip bones?
Maybe, all right, Christian Bale in The Fighter.
Okay, I've never seen
those
that,
are two extreme body types.
Machinist, he weighs like 106 pounds.
Christian Bale 120 pounds in The Machinist. But look, he got pumped up for The Fighter because the movie's called The Fighter. Christian.
No, Mark Wahlberg got pumped up for that. He was his crackhead brother.
Right, okay.
So he was
skinny still.
Skinny in that one, too.
Okay, yeah, okay, I got me. Hey, anyway, if you'd like to join us, please do. 216-578-1007 if you want to call us live. 800-348-1007 will work as well. You can always text me. The number is 35192. You can watch the show at alancockshow.com. You can listen anywhere on the iHeartRadio app. A lot of calls came in on the Alan Cox Show After Hours line over Bill's new dog. We were discussing how much he spent. He dropped a couple of grand on this new dog. And people had some thoughts.
Do I have to listen to him? Because I really don't care what people think.
You don't have to listen to him. Well, I'm playing. You don't have to listen to him.
But I just don't. I don't see
but
why
I
people.
I said nobody
want to weigh in
because everybody wants to weigh in on everything we do, good or bad. You know. So you don't have to. You don't have to put any credence in him. Yeah, of course. I mean, you know. But I said no one would spend that kind of money on a cat, and of course, a guy called me to divest me of that notion that of course somebody would spend that kind of money on a cat.
Hey, Alan, just listening to Monday's show. I paid over $1,500 for two cats. Well, they're 15 each.
$3,000 for two cats.
Now.
Because they were the kind of cats he wanted.
As a cat lover.
A single person with lots of disposable income and no children to pay for.
Correct.
Parenthetically.
Yes, absolutely. As cuddly as cats can be, they're not worth $3,000.
If you had the money, you wouldn't.
No,
you had
because
the money.
They're just not that affectionate. They can be. Some cats can be right up in your face, super affectionate. But if I'm paying $1,500 for an animal that's going to hang out under my bed, I'm going to be real pissed.
A dog, you're going to get your money's worth out of.
Right. They'll play. They'll cuddle. They'll be there. Cats are not worth $1,500.
There's one cat that I like a lot. I don't like a lot of cats, but I like Polk's cat.
Yeah.
McDuff. And he's one of those Scottish Folds, and he's super cute.
Chill.
Yeah, but he's also a famous cat, Bill. They're easy to like.
I knew him before he was famous, Alan.
Well, I didn't, and I was starstruck.
The Sphinx, so they're the naked cats from Austin Powers. Xander and Dino, their names. Actually, they follow...
Xander and Dino, so he paid $3,000 for those hairless Dr. Evil cats.
You can't even pet... I mean, you can pet them, but what...
Yeah, you get a nice skin pet going.
I feel like you got, like,
grease all over.
Every time you'd pet your cat, it would feel like you were scratching your balls.
Oh, is that what it is? I was going to say,
it's
like...
just fleshy skin, I mean...
If you put Legos into fleshy a balloon... Skin. You fill a balloon with Legos and pet that. It's going to feel the same as one of those.
I think it's probably a little softer.
No, probably
softer.
Xander and Dino, their names. Actually, they follow Mary on Instagram, they do have their own Instagram account.
I'm sitting here smack-talking.
Hey, tell them to follow.
This is a guy who's trying to monetize his cats.
What are their names? Zeno and...
Zeno and Dust... I don't know. Zeno and Devo? I don't know.
I got 200 followers on Whoopsie Doodle's account. And a lot of them aren't my followers.
Oh, the dog already does have an account.
Yeah, I made an account yesterday during the show just because I was like, hey, why not? Maybe they'll take off and the dog will be my retirement account. I'll get my money back, Alan.
I see.
Actually, they follow Mary on Instagram.
Wait, what are their names? Let me find out their names.
Dino?
Xander and Dino, their names.
Xander and Dino? Anyway, that guy bought two $1,500 hairless Sphinx cats, I think is what he called them.
I feel like I've heard that style, that breed of cat is pretty mean.
I guess he's going to find out. I don't know how long ago he did that, but he called on the After Hours line.
Maybe they just
so I'm going to break here, and I'm going to play the call. Dustin from Georgia called about Bill's dog.
Mm-hmm.
And something bad. I mean, a lot of people had some thoughts. The After Hours line, however, is always open to you. It's a lot of people who listen to the podcast, can't join us live. You can always check in. It's 216-986-8903.
Press the yellow button to begin enjoying your Alan.
What is an Alan?
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Want to shoot me a text? Cavaliers tonight in Chicago to play the Bulls at the United Center. That is an 8 o'clock tip here on WMMS. Your FM home for Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. It is, by the way, day 69
nice.
Of the coronavirus crisis. I was reading. Some people are very upset with the band Korn, who are sold out of their Korn-branded surgical masks. And a lot of the fans are complaining that they're trying to monetize crisis, I guess. They said, don't get the coronavirus, but get the Korn virus at Korn.com.
Oh,
they are currently sold out, so I guess not that many people were upset, but they got some backlash from some fans. Of course, Korn on the road, depending on when you're touring this year, I guess it depends on whether or not you cancel your tour, because
everything's kind of up in the air right now.
There are bands that were going out now are canceling their tours, but Korn is going out. We gave away some tickets last week. They're doing that fall tour with Faith No More. By that time, might have a better handle on what's going on. Bands might be canceling tours well up to the end of the year. Who knows? But Korn on their website had the Korn. Boy, they moved on this quickly, by the way, because you need the mask to put your logo on it. And we're selling them for $10 a pop. It was the third best-selling item in the Korn merch shop, behind two different blends of Korn coffee. At what point do you go, you know what, start selling coffee? You know, a couple of people hit me up when we were on the bar crawl on Saturday. They go, I see all these Rover hoodies. How come you don't have merch? And I said, well, when I first came to town, we had Alan Cox Show shirts, and I still see some people. Sometimes I'll see somebody in public with an Alan Cox shirt. I'm like, wow, that is an old shirt. That's an OG listener. Just said, hate the show on the back. It was a show logo. I was the new fresh meat in town, and they were trying to kind of get the word out. But I'm like, you know, Rover spends a ton of his own money on merch, which is fine. You should, people love it. Do whatever you want to do. That's just not me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if the company was like, we want to make you a bunch of shirts, the shirts we had years ago, I gave them away. I didn't sell them to people because I don't feel comfortable selling people stuff because it has my name on it.
You got to do things that make you uncomfortable, Alan.
I don't have mugs and keychains and, you know what I mean? So,
you got to get out of your comfort zone. Make that money, too.
Listen, it's a loss leader. Like, you're not going to make that money. You're either going to jack your prices way up on these things.
Yeah.
So it's not for me.
People pay money for it. But if they
want it. They do. Like I said.
If they want it, then is it really.
I'm not going to base what I'm doing based on a handful of people who come up to me and go, hey, how come there's no merch? You know what I mean?
Like, I think they
listen,
do very
if the,
well.
If the rule number one is you don't spend your own money. Okay? It's bit me in the ass more than a few times. So if the company was like, hey, we want to do a whole new round of shirts, I go, great. You guys make the shirts.
Do we work with anybody that makes shirts?
Maybe they have a promo code.
Listen, I could do this every year if I was going to drop five figures on merch. Yeah. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going
to
do it.
But you don't have to do it. I'm sure we can make that happen.
They got kids.
Make it happen.
Huh?
I think it could be a very profitable thing, though.
Selfishly, I would want one.
Yeah, I want one. On cocktail hoodies?
It makes,
yeah,
it,
like a zip-up hoodie with our logo right on the chest.
It makes me uncomfortable is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
It makes me uncomfortable to sell to people something just because it has my name on it.
But people want it because they like the show.
Exactly. They're not buying it because they're yes, they are because
feel
it's
free
your
to,
name, but it's
feel free to make your own.
Feel free
to make your own. We'll put the logo up on the website. People can screen print it, whatever they want to do.
Yes. Download it for $8 a pop. download the JPEG. I'll make it a PNG so it can be even more. You can have a clear background.
There's legal issues with that anyway.
All right, fine.
But, you know.
Hit me up in my DMs.
So, Korn is making these surgical masks and they're sold out of them. And people are saying, not a really great look on you guys. But why not? They sold a bunch of them. $10 a pop. I bet they sold. Let me do the math here. I bet they sold up to 8 of these.
I bet they sold like 25.
I bet they sold a lot.
Because you
got to
buy in bulk, Alan. If you're not going to get 8 surgical masks, you're not going to make your money back.
That's true.
So you got to get at least 25. Then there's probably a price break around 100.
So Korn and Faith No More and Helmet, they're all going to do Blossom in September. So they might not run into any problems. I was reading about this family who, and I did this exact same thing, which is why I have less space in my basement than I should. This family in Australia who accidentally ordered instead of 48 rolls of toilet paper, they ordered 48 boxes of toilet paper.
Whoops.
So now they have 2,300 rolls of toilet paper.
Ooh,
so they're not
Australia.
Fighting. Yeah, they're not fighting people in the grocery store. I did this a while ago. I was there. The toilet paper I like, I can't find in the store anymore.
What is it?
I don't even know. It's like a green package. It's a Cottonelle something. It's got mm-hmm. I don't know, aloe, whatever. Where I was getting it for a while. Where I was getting it for a while, I couldn't find it anymore. And I was looking around, couldn't find it. I go, screw it. I'll get it on Amazon. They'll drop it right off, mm-hmm. right? What am I wasting my time for? I did this exact same thing.
Not paying attention.
I guess not. And usually I'm pretty scrupulous when it, you know. So I look through and...
Did the price not set you off?
No, because...
It would cost... I mean, 42 boxes would cost more than 42 rolls.
Well, no. I didn't order 42 boxes. I went to buy, I didn't realize that the boxes had like four packages in them. Each package is, I think, 12 rolls,
mm-hmm.
and each box, so it was a box of 48 rolls.
So four packages.
Yeah, I guess I didn't figure that, I don't, whatever I looked at went in one eye and out the other.
I was going to say, if you saw toilet paper that cost $60, I think that might set something off.
But I'm so fast on Amazon now. Like, Amazon has really, in so many ways, obviously, it has made things convenient for us, but it has made things too convenient for us. Whereas before, you'd be like, okay, I need this, I need to go out and find it. And in that transit, you determine, I'm not talking about toilet paper, I'm talking about all the dumb crap we all get from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
The transit used to be a little equalizer for you to determine how badly you wanted something or needed it. Now, Amazon, there it is, buy now, it's on your door the next day.
Yeah.
Which is the business model, but it's, you know, so anyway, again, I didn't buy 48 boxes, I think I bought three.
That's still a lot of toilet paper.
I have toilet paper for the next. So on the coronavirus front, as far as the toilet paper goes,
covered.
Party at AC's house.
Mm.
Nope, yeah. So
I got a bidet, so that helps too.
Yeah.
I don't go through a lot of toilet paper. I do need some paper towels. Puppies making paper towels a commodity.
A commodity, as it were. So these people, they built like a Game of Thrones throne with the toilet paper rolls. And, you know, what if you had all those... Why would you then defile them by taking them out and...
And dummies.
Yeah.
So the joke's on you, Australia. While you're all out there scrambling for toilet paper all through the supermarkets, knifing each other, getting into fights and carrying on, we are flying high. We are sitting pretty. We are loaded with toilet paper. Australia, suffer. We have the toilet paper.
Loaded with toilet paper.
We are loaded with toilet paper.
And carrying on.
While you're out there knifing each other.
Knifing. Now that's a knife. That ain't a knife. It's a knife.
I like the phrase, in carrying on.
Carrying on.
You're like, all right, I knife one person, I need to keep carrying on and knife more people. Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
I love that accent. I know you hate it, but I really
used to not mind
like it.
And then I'm trying to cast my mind back to what the tipping point was for me. If I met someone, I don't think I ever dated an Australian girl that would have turned me off to it, but I'm like, somewhere along the line, somebody really knocked me out of contention for enjoying that accent.
The toilet paper?
Toilet paper.
I'm sitting on my throne with my toilet paper.
I like Jim Jeffries.
Yeah.
I can watch a full hour of his stand-up.
Will Anderson is the one.
Will Anderson?
Who got me onto it.
Don't have an issue at all.
I don't.
Maybe it's the women. Maybe it's the female Australian. Maybe it's New Zealand. I know they are two different accents.
The female Australian accent is worse.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just doesn't work.
What's the word I'm looking for? Shrill?
No, it's not shrill. I think it just might be a little masculine.
So maybe you don't think Australian women are hot and that's ruining it?
No, I think they are hot, but then you hear them talk, and you're like, yeah, it sounds weird. Yeah.
That the Australian accent is a manly one, is what you're saying. German is a manly accent.
Is it?
It's like up and down.
German's very guttural, though. It's not like a classical language or, you know, Russian.
Yeah. Is that a handsome woman? I'm just speaking Russian to you.
But the Russian accent's hot.
I don't think so. I think that's
Australian
really annoying.
Is one of the hottest accents.
There
personally.
Are a lot of foxy Russians on Instagram, and they're like, bloosh-ta, bloosh-ta, bloosh-ta.
That's what I've seen.
They're going, bloosh-ta.
Yeah.
I'll take a bloosh-ta.
Yeah.
All I think of when I think of like a Russian accent is that girl. I don't know how many of you watch Shameless, but like there's a character on there, and she's essentially just a prostitute, and she always wifely duties, and she always like wipes her mouth because she just gets done like
wifely duties.
Wifely duties, And she just wipes her mouth like that. So whenever I think of a Russian hooker, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's that chick.
I know.
Man, if that's wifely duty, some of you gals can learn a lot from these Russian girls in these TV shows.
That's really all she
does. FYI.
She literally got the D to a bar because she was doing wifely duties.
Wifely duties.
I know the origin for my distaste for the Australian accent was when I was in the Philippines, I bought a bunch of porn, and it was all Australian porn. And so the girls in it were, and it was, I just went into a place and like bought a bunch and didn't really look at what I was buying. And it was like girls wrestling each other. And it was.
Piggyback rides?
No, not really. It was more like they would like pin each other down and then like pull on their vaginas. It was really disturbing. Ooh. I didn't like it at all. But they were Australian. They're Australian, and so they're like, I'm going to get in there and get in your fanny.
In your fanny.
Because that's another word for, I think that's actually British slang for vagina.
I don't know. Yeah, you don't even know what you were watching.
Fanny. I thought fanny was just an ass.
I thought it was in every culture.
No.
In fanny.
In England, a fanny is a vagina.
It is? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. So that song, The Weight, by the band, Take a Load Off Fanny. Well, I know those guys aren't English, but wow. This club is full of fanny. Oh, vagina. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that is the same in
that's like the least sexy Australia. Word.
Fanny? Yeah, right?
I was. Would you like to see my fanny?
Won't you let me get all up in your fanny?
I want to show you my fanny later.
I have a friend named Fanny. That's weird.
That's what I'm saying. Take a load off Fanny from the song. How did fanny come to mean vagina in the UK but ass in America, somebody says. Huh.
Right next door.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know if that's what they're using in Australia. But
oh, my God. I can't even imagine using that in, like, a sexy way. Just like, you buy me a couple points, and I'll show you my fanny.
Show you my fanny.
You come over to my house, my flat. Come to my flat, and I'll show you my fanny.
No, I don't mean my bum. I mean my fanny.
You know what I mean.
I'd be over there going, aren't those the same thing? No.
Flip it around now. Come on.
Yeah, turn
fanny
around.
Pack.
This is my fanny pack.
That's how I learned it.
So a fanny pack is just a fupa, essentially. Well,
because there's a British comic that I used to work with, and he had a bit about having a fanny pack and being with British people, and like he had been Americanized enough that he's like, yeah, let me just get it out of my fanny. And they're like, what'd you do while you were in America?
Oh, fat little fanny.
Because they started calling those things bum bags, too. But yeah, your fupa, calling your fupa a fanny pack would be a good idea.
It's literally a fupa.
Fupa against your poopa.
I love you, but please don't touch my vagina.
I wonder if fanny to fanny contact can advance this coronavirus. I mean, it's not sexually transmitted.
Worth a shot.
I guess so.
Is that called fanning?
Yeah, Dakota Fanning.
Oh my goodness.
It's when she gets real hot.
Not fanny.
I do love the stories, though, of the people who are asked to quarantine themselves. And they go, nah.
I'm going to stick it out.
Okay.
Why would I do that? I don't know anything. Why would I ignore the medical professionals who've told me to do this? I literally don't know anything. I'm stupid. But they told me to do this, but I'm not going to do that. The family in Missouri that they put under quarantine after their daughter contracted the coronavirus.
I'm going to Missouri.
But that didn't stop her dad and sister from going to attend a father-daughter dance at the Ritz-Carlton.
Ooh, bougie.
Yeah, that's the takeaway from this. Bougie. Pound cake. His antenna. He's on such a narrow frequency all the time. He's like, you know. Ooh, bougie. Ritz-Carlton.
Just saying, if you're going to get the coronavirus, you might as well get it somewhere as nice as the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, really? But that's the point, though. Whether you're rich or poor, I mean, poor people obviously are less equipped to handle any problem like this because of resources. But it's not like if you're rich, you can't get the coronavirus.
People, I feel like, either 100% absolutely listen to everything doctors say and take it way out of proportion, or completely write it off. Where they're like, follow it to the exact, I have to take exactly this amount at this time and set alarms and be crazy about what they have to do.
I just think that when
they're like, I'll be fine.
I just think that when there's some pathogen making its way around the world, maybe err on the side of caution. Everybody thinks they're so goddamn smart. Well, we're going to ask that your family quarantine themselves. Okay, doc, shut the door. Oh, what about the father-daughter dance? Cute. Oh, honey, we'll still go to the father-daughter dance.
You know
for
what?
One thing.
I'm actually really surprised that that's still a thing because there's so many like different types of families and things like that now, and a lot of people don't have like a male father figure.
Well, there's a lot.
They have friends of dads.
They have
daddy-daughter dance, father-daughter dance, and I feel like, I don't know. It just it bums a lot of people out.
Well, they call them different things. When I took my
what's the one that Robert just did, guys and gals.
Oh, I don't
but
know.
But either way.
When I took my daughter, my older daughter, when she was little, and we'd go to those, because they do them like kindergarten through maybe fifth grade.
My niece is in second grade and just had one over the weekend.
There were a lot of grandfathers at my daughter's school.
So well, what about people who don't have a dad at all? Like, their dad
passed
away?
Well, you bring a family. I don't know.
Yeah, you have an uncle. It's just like a male figure.
I mean, those girls know that they don't have a dad, so it's not like they found out, what?
No, I know, but it's kind of
they
make
go to the dance
feel...
and they get the name card.
I thought
nothing
he was meeting me here.
There's nothing on the name card.
I go to the daddy daughter dance, and I'm the daughter. Yeah. The daddy would meet me there.
Yep. Let me fill this out. Hello, my name is not your dad. All right, now stick that on your jacket.
Those were such awkward nights, though.
Really?
Like, I'd take my kids to those, and like the kids would have fun.
You're just hanging out with a bunch of other dads,
right? And then you're just there, like meeting all their friends' dads, and you're just like. I'm always, like, the youngest one by, like, a lot, because I was, like, 25 when I met my ex-wife.
Like, what age you knock her up?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, actually, and then, I got to go through the whole story again.
Annoying.
And I'm just like, yeah, so I would just kind of keep to myself, and the kids had a blast, but they weren't involving us.
Except for slow dances, right?
They didn't even care about that.
They're not going to slow dance with each other.
Well, no, they don't really do a lot of slow dances.
It depends, because I'm starting them all over. As my older daughter got a little bit older, like in kindergarten or whatever, they're all running around. When they get a little bit older, I think they feel compelled to, like, okay, let's include our dads a little bit. So, you go to slow dance.
We only did it till like, they were in fifth or sixth grade, though.
That's what I'm saying. I think that they end there. But my daughter now, who's four, I was just informed that it is still a thing, and it's happening in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I was talking to Andre now, and he stuck his head in last week. He's talking about taking his daughter. And I said, yeah, when they're real little, they're just all running around. So you're standing there talking to the other dads, you know, which is fine. I mean, whatever. These people went to the daddy-daughter dance at the Ritz-Carlton, and one of the county executives is like, if we have to, we will force these people by law to stay home. I don't know how you do that. That's why they declare state of emergency. It lets local government do things they wouldn't normally be able to do.
So they could say that. They're like, hey, man.
Yeah.
The patient has contacted our coronavirus hotline on Thursday, March 5th, and on that same day, the county health department instructed the patient and her family to self-quarantine at their home in Ladue. The way the family has reacted to this situation is really a tale of two reactions, and a study of how people should and should not react to the coronavirus. And as a result, the county health directors informed him today that he must remain in his home, or they will issue a formal quarantine that will require him and the rest of his family to stay in their home by the force of law.
And see, this is the other thing, too, where you really need to start thinking about other people beyond yourself, because when they talk about... You know, you'll hear them say, oh, well, we're encouraging people to work from home. That's still a pretty white-collar solution. There are a lot of people who cannot work from home.
Servers, bartenders.
Servers, people
in
retail.
Customer service.
Blue-collar, hands-on jobs, right? You can't do that from... And those are the people who stand to lose the most from contracting some debilitating virus. So, this guy, you know, because they say, what's the... you know, you can come in contact with three other people. At a daddy-daughter dance or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Or even just like touching the ladle on the punch bowl. You know?
You touch the ladle on the punch bowl and you get the... I don't know. There's a reggae vibe in there somewhere.
About a punch bowl,
I'll suss it out.
Terrible idea.
A punch bowl?
Yeah.
Why?
It's just open.
So what?
Things could be falling in there all night.
Dude, I used to drink out of trash cans. You never had like jungle juice out of a trash can?
No.
It had a liner in it.
It did not.
You're supposed to have a trash bag.
No. We would buy like...
You would just pour booze into a trash can.
Not that had trash in it, but it was our specific juice trash can.
Hey, how do you like our sangria?
But yeah, it would be like a regular sized trash can that was only bought for that purpose, that got hosed out and whatever, and you just dip your cup in there all night long, and then you eat the apple and you waste it.
Are you saying that that's a good idea?
What I'm saying is it's not that bad.
You're saying you never got sick from it?
I got very drunk.
I ate out of a trash can. You know how trashy that sounds.
Literally.
I said that I was at the art museum probably about a month ago. And they have these big, like, intricate looking, like, that we had wine. This got lined with gold. And I'm like, I used to eat fruit out of trash cans to get drunk like that. That I am not alone in doing that, though. Don't make me feel
I'm
like
I'm not saying you're alone, but I'm saying it. I've drank out of a punch bowl, too. But looking at it now with COVID-19 out there, I'm like, pretty gross.
And I also sanitary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I also
I like lids on things.
Never saw a trash can that didn't have a liner in it when it was full of jungle juice either. I've never seen a raw trash raw dog in a trash can.
Because there's like holes at the bottom, like towards where the wheels are and stuff like
not
that.
If you get a new one. Like that was the only thing we used this for.
Oh, you
for.
Bought a new
you
one.
You go to the store, buy it, rinse it out, and that is a jungle juice trash can.
I think a punch bowl before you get a drink, you should be able to punch the person who's ready. I think that's how they should work it out. Literally punch the person. And if you can knock the drink out of their hand...
that means they're weak and they probably have coronavirus.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
A drink out the rubbish can.
Dip your fanny in the bin!
Don't. Oh, you ruined
oh,
it!
Oh, no, that's
you're
for your bum, it. Not your fanny! Join us live or 800-348-1007. You can text me at 35192. 5:30 this afternoon. Keep in mind, that'll be your last chance today to text and win one of these trips to L.A. end of this month, the 29th, at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, the 2020 iHeartRadio Music Awards. I saw that Billie Eilish got down to her bra at one of her shows. It was a video piece about how she doesn't want to be body shamed. And, you know, she famously runs around in really, really baggy clothes because she didn't want people when she was a minor commenting on her body. Entirely understandable. Now that she's 18, she's taking a different approach. So she has video pieces throughout her show. And one of them went viral because it had her unzipping the big, long... you know, garbage bag clothing she usually wears, and she was down to like a sport bra or something.
Was the garbage bag full of jungle juice?
No, it was not full of jungle juice, but it turns out it was full of breasts.
Yeah.
She's well endowed.
She is a juggy gal.
Yeah.
Yep. If you listen to the show on iHeartRadio, by the way, from out of state, tell me where you do that. We'll put you on the map behind Bill. You're watching a live stream. Justin listens in Prairieville, Louisiana. Quentin is in Post Falls, Idaho. Joe is new in Knoxville, Tennessee. Nick is in a place called Vallant, PA. I don't know where that is. You guys on TikTok?
No.
I'm not on TikTok either because it's not for me.
It's for children.
But is Pound Cake on TikTok?
I am not.
Okay.
I'm not that much of a child.
Well, they've got apparently the Corona Time theme song has already gotten over a million hits. This is apparently the song that everybody's using when they're doing their coronavirus dances and memes and things.
Dance? There's a dance for coronavirus?
There's a dance for everything. Yeah. This is the song, however. That's,
hey, it's Corona time right now. It's Corona time. It's Corona time. Hey, it's Corona time right now. It's Corona time.
It just keeps doing that over and over again, and then it gets real slow, and then the music then speeds up, and, you know, whether or not you think that's an earworm, who knows, but they have used that song over a million times for videos over on the TikTok. I know that my older daughter is on the TikTok, which is what I like to call it when I refer to it, talking to her, is the TikTok.
Someone explained it to me as Vine with Snapchat filters.
Again,
that's all that it is.
All those words that just came out of your mouth have nothing to do with me.
That made sense to me. Yeah. It was just short videos that you're able to filter and kind of mess with a little bit, but it's the ideal. It's the same idea as Vine.
But also like doing like lip syncing videos and stuff like that and dances.
Except Facebook stole the filters and put them on Instagram and Facebook now.
Yeah.
But there's your Corona time. I like how they call it. This is the official song. So, oh boy.
It's also owned by like a Chinese company, right?
I don't know.
I heard that it's owned by like a Chinese company.
Probably.
To like just to build like a giant database of everybody's face.
Oh, so this is like the aging app.
Yeah.
Anytime it's one of those fun apps, it's not enough for it to be fun and everybody has a time. It's some company
it's some Russian
that's grabbing
company or
your face or your data or whatever.
Just getting some personal data from you.
So you're really caught between two worlds, because in a time like now, you really need silly, stupid distractions like, what will I look like when I'm 80? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, things like that. But there's always going to be people like, oh, just companies trying to get your information. And they're right.
And they have it.
But they're also a buzzkill, too. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, you've already put, I read all these articles on people getting pissed off because of facial recognition technology. I was reading the thing about how Ohio is, you know, law enforcement using facial recognition technology, and people get all indignant about it, which theoretically I understand. But it would have more oomph to it if you hadn't already put 1,000 photos of yourself online.
Right.
Facebook recognized your face a long time ago. That's why Facebook sells data to companies. And that's why law enforcement likes looking at Facebook. So it always kind of makes me laugh. Like, theoretically, yes, you're right. And if you were somebody who wasn't on social media at all, I would take you more seriously when you got upset about facial recognition technology. But if you have 4 million selfies of yourself, that ship sailed a long, long time ago. So I say, even though these things aren't for me, I say have fun. Get out, have yourself some fun. Right?
Do it.
Do a little coronavirus dance or something. If it takes your mind off other things.
Some of them are very clever.
Not?
Some people make great content, and then there's the stuff that I like is more of the cringy stuff.
Well, millions of people make horrible content, and then there's the people who actually monetize things like TikTok that are good at it.
And there are also a lot of horrible content that gets monetized.
That's true, too.
Around the NBA All-Star Game, there was a girl that, like, I think it was the New York Times, put out this article, like, this is so-and-so, and she invented the Renegade, the most popular dance on TikTok, and she just wants credit. Because there's these other three girls that were at the All-Star Game, and they were, like, they're, like, CEO's daughters, and they have, like, 25 million followers each on TikTok, and they're doing this dance that everybody was talking about, and there's all these people like going, like, they should, you know, give her all their money, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's a dance. I don't know how you
do that. But you're also never.
How you do that.
I mean, first of all, if you invent something on social media,
it's gone.
That's all you're going to get. Right. Like, you're never going to get credit ever for anything.
And it's one of those things, too. Memes and everything.
Right. And it's one of those things, too, where the dance, like, great for her for doing that. But the only reason I knew, and they're like, oh, she needs her credit. I heard of her the same time that I heard of the dance.
Yeah.
So it was. You know, maybe it wasn't the credit that she wanted, but I know who she is.
A dance is one thing.
I can't remember her name.
A dance is one thing. Artists should absolutely be getting credit for things of theirs that other people steal and make t-shirts with and things like that. But like,
and I think she should get credit. I think she should get credit for creating the dance because it's a very popular dance.
But then what?
But she should
there she is.
She might be very creative in the field of dance, and she might be able to come up with other stuff, but she might be a one-hit wonder, too.
I think
there are also really weird dances where it's like, I don't know. Like they look like every single TikTok dance that I've ever seen looks like the same dance, but they're all different.
I don't know.
I'm not trained in the ways of the TikTokers, though.
There's a buddy of mine who's a comedian. I think I might have told this story before. He just posted a Facebook status where he was like, I just ruined a family's graduation party. He was a server, and like he went up to the table and was like, hey, guys, going to get you started, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're celebrating our daughter's graduation. He's like, oh, what'd you get your degree in? She's like, oh, I'm an English major, yada, yada. And he's like, oh, my God, I have the exact same degree. Did you guys want to start with some spinach and artichoke dip? And so it went like crazy viral, got all these shares, and then he would start to see it with his name blocked out, or people would like have erased his name and put their name and their Twitter handle on it so that people would go follow their stuff. And he's like, it was originally his Facebook post, and he saw it on like just every place you could think with other Instagram handles, or it was like one of them was, it said Will Ferrell with like the little blue check mark, so they were like attributing it to random celebrities and things like that. And he's like, a comedian. He's like, if people knew this was mine, I could be getting credit for it. It might have led to something else.
And not only that, but the beauty of being a comedian is you'll always write more jokes.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
who was
also,
it, by the way, give him credit.
Oh, Andrew Rudick. He's a, that's actually a very good point. He's a friend. He's
this
a
isn't
very
like one of the stories where you're telling something like, hey, this thing happened behind the scenes.
No. His name's Andrew Rudick. He's a very, very funny comedian. I follow him on Instagram, and if you want to find him, it's just at Andrew Rudick. But
he's down in Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's a Cincinnati guy.
Well, and also there are things that float around for so long that people forget the origin. They don't know. I saw somebody the other day who tweeted out, people have a bigger fear of public speaking than of death, which means that you'd rather, at a funeral, you'd rather be in the box than giving the eulogy, which is a great line. It is an old Jerry Seinfeld joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it gets passed around a lot other people will show up on like shower thoughts or, or you'll see, you know, somebody doing it live or something. You're like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
There's a generational thing, too, where if you're in your mid-20s, you don't know anything about Jerry Seinfeld's comedy, nor do you probably care.
Well, there's a lot of that where people that are famous YouTubers, a lot of them are just ripping off older comics, like in like radio people and doing like a, like an impression of someone that they look up to, and these younger followers that they have, they don't know.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, this guy's really clever. He's coming up with a lot of stuff, but he's really just doing his like hybrid version of Carlin in Howard Stern.
Yeah. Alan, people worried about facial recognition are going to be really upset when they find out about driver's licenses. That's my point. Like, when people complain about, you know, and driver's licenses have been a thing for a long, long time. But anytime the technology advances, I don't know that they were keeping people in a giant AI database. So I get where people are coming from theoretically. But come on, man. I mean, you know, people are posting photos of themselves all the time.
But I think it just becomes a matter of people get upset about permission. I'm posting those things to my Instagram willingly.
Right.
You're using my face for things that I don't even know what you're using it for. That's where I think people get upset. It's not the fact that...
People are definitely using your face for things you don't.
Thank you.
All right, so we have the Alan Cox Show After Hours line, which people can call anytime. Podcast listeners that can't join us live. I have this number for you, and a lot of people call. And I'll sift through them every day and see what I like, see what I don't care about. Got a lot of calls about Bill's new dog, right? He got a new dog over the weekend. He's very happy about it. Cute dog.
Golden Doodle.
Golden Doodle, named it Whoopsie. And he divulged that he spent $2,000.
It was pride out of me.
Pride?
Yeah.
He said, did you spend $1,000? And you said more. That's not prying.
Well, you didn't have to ask at all. It's very gauche.
In his defense, I understand why he didn't want to offer that information up.
Yeah.
I don't mind offering it up. I just think it's...
You clearly do mind telling people you spent $2,000
I mean,
on the dog.
It's out there now, so right. I'm going to talk about it.
After I pried it out of you, Bill, of course it's out there.
Yeah, well, with your master interview skills, what am I supposed to do?
You're getting me so comfortable
over here, I just feel like I'm sitting around on the couch with you.
There you go.
And all of a sudden, I'm telling you I spent $2,000 on a dog.
You know, we forget the microphones are even here, man.
Totally chill. Just kicking around. All of a sudden...
So I got a lot of calls. This one is from Dustin.
Alan, it's Dustin from down in Georgia. I tell you, I knew the moment Bill posted a picture of that dog, I knew that bitch was going to be every bit of $2,000. But hey, if he can afford it, good for him. But I think it's a little odd. Bill lives with his friend's grandmother, saving money to get his own place. He gets his own place. Boom, now he's got his girlfriend that he's talking about. Boom, now he's got a dog that costs $2,000. If he's balling like that, then ball on, brother. But to me, I agree with Mary and say it sounds like a little midlife crisis.
Can we just for 1 second sit with, I knew that bitch was going to cost every bit of $2,000.
But here's what I'd like to say, and then Bill can say whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people know what a midlife crisis is.
Yeah, I don't
think
so.
A midlife crisis is not when things are going well. Like, he's like, he gets a new place, then he gets a girlfriend, then he gets a dog. Yeah,
it's like he's got all the stability in his life now.
Yeah, that's not
a
midlife crisis.
And he wants to share it with the people he cares about.
Yes.
And have a dog be a part of his home life.
Midlife crisis is like when
you can say anything in that accent and it's going to sound amazing.
Yeah.
I can take anything in that accent.
Right. Midlife crisis is when you're trying to, you know, pork every college student
that
comes your way.
That was
over a 5-year period. I mean,
when I got out of my marriage, like that's when I was doing all that stuff. This is more just I've been putting a lot of things off and I'm now in a place where I can do it and I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I think Alan nailed it when he said nesting. You got a place, you're doing it up, you want a house and a family and a life and a... Not that you don't have a family, but you know what I mean. Like, you've got your own stuff now, so you're making
it
your
own. And I get to finally
do
it my way because every other time I had my apartments and stuff like that, but cohabitating with someone else, if you're a guy, you don't get to do it the way you want. You do not get to do things the way you want at all. Women are, at least the ones I've been with... You know, you're doing
controlling
things.
And possessive.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But they want things a certain way. They want everything, you know, a certain way. And Now I can do it my way, which is nice.
If you date controlling and possessive girls. Like, I never had that problem because I didn't date controlling and possessive girls.
I wouldn't even say they're controlling and possessive, but they have their style. And, like, I would, in two cases, I was moving into their life, so they already had a place.
Right. Yeah, that's like, different. If you're moving into their home and you're like, you know.
But even, I mean, just their taste is different. And that's, that could be anything. That could be a roommate even. Like, their tastes are going to be different than your tastes. So now I get to do everything the way I want to. I have the money to do it, so I'm going to do it.
He's got rescue kids. He's got a, he's got a golden doodle now. What's the matter with that? But I just thought that was funny. He's like, sounds like midlife crisis. Sounds like, I don't think you know what a midlife crisis is.
Well, that
I like it though.
I never even understood. I mean, I understand what they mean in the nomenclature, but I'm like, even if it's an older guy who like buys a Ferrari, like that's fun.
Yeah.
How is that a crisis? Like, if you got the money.
Well, you're trying to, they're saying you're trying to be flashy, you're trying to be young, you're trying to reinvent yourself.
I get
or whatever,
what they mean, but again, you just rattled off three things that all don't sound bad to me. Like, flashy, midlife young, crisis reinvent. Is like, I got divorced and I started doing heroin, you know? Mm-hmm. That's a midlife crisis. That's an anytime life crisis.
Or, like, I think a midlife crisis is more like if you change the way, like if you're trying, if I was trying to dress like a 21 year old dude, that's like, I'm like, oh, I'm getting older, I don't feel cool right now, I'm going to try and dress like someone younger than me.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a crisis. I was getting at, I was like, oh, I feel like you're working through some things. That's what I was getting at.
Well, also, I'm rewarding myself because I've been working my ass off in comedy and radio for the past 16 years total. And now I finally have I'm at a point where I can actually get some stuff that I want.
Yeah.
I mean, I raised kids. I helped girlfriends, like I put a lot of other people first, and now I'm putting Bill first.
It's Bill time.
It's Bill
time. This is Bill time.
It's Bill
time. Let me ask you this. Is Whoopsie is she as big as she's going to get? I'm thinking about the condo pet weight limit.
Well, the condo pet weight limit is $25. £25.
You exceeded that.
Unless unless it's a service dog. She is not a service dog.
Are you at any point going to have to pretend like you're infirmed?
I might just
foist her
flight stuff, but 14 to 16 pounds is what they projected her to be.
I got you.
So
okay.
She's about 5 right now.
Okay,
so she'll get a little bit bigger, but not too big.
Because I'd hate for her to get overweight, Bill, and then of course you'd have to put her down.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah. Al and I just moved in with my boyfriend, and I ask him before I decorate anything.
Right,
it's a partnership.
But of course, they asked me. But then I would give my input, and they'd be like, well, I'm going to do this anyway. It's always kind of there.
When I moved into the house with my ex, I wasn't allowed to put anything up. I had a bunch of stuff that I liked, that I wanted, and he was like, that looks dumb here. That doesn't go with the... Which, by the way, his vibe was beer can, like beer tins. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Anytime I ever cohabited with someone, I honestly did not care what they did.
That's also kind of thing, too.
It's fine. I'm not putting up Salma Hayek posters anyway.
Right.
I don't have a beer can collection.
Do you have one?
Yeah?
I could use a Salma Hayek poster if you got one.
I'll find you one. Probably Old Desperado. Yeah.
Next year for my birthday.
Gotcha. She still looks great, by the way.
Oh, she's so hot.
I mean, being married to a French billionaire will help you out. But, I mean, I follow Salma Hayek on Instagram, and she's always posting, like, Throwback Thursdays. Mm-hmm. She doesn't look that different than she did 25 years ago.
See, like,
she's still gorgeous.
My ex-wife was very into antiques and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So she would go antiquing, and I didn't enjoy it that much. So I found things that I would enjoy, so I had something to do while I would be there. So I would look for records. That would be, like, the one thing that I would enjoy there. But she would get really into a lot of like reclaimed like furniture and like making her own stuff and very crafty. And it's not that it looked bad or anything like that. It just it was more her thing, and I didn't really mind because it did look good, but it just wasn't what I was going for.
Right.
And now,
what are you going for, Bill?
The things that I got. I like my kitchen and I like my dining room and. I like cozy.
Okay.
I like a cozy look.
Kitchen is what he's got. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
You've seen it all. It's just like kind of minimalist and cozy.
Simple, yeah.
Yeah, very simple.
Simple and cozy.
I got some art coming.
Simple and cozy. What's the art?
It's a Jordan. I like basketball, so I got a Jordan thing and a Kobe thing.
Mm.
Painting, print.
The
a figurine. You just said a thing.
He bought a Jordan Hummel.
Dinner plates. I don't know what they're
going to be. Jordan Hummels, because I would totally get like 90s basketball player Hummels. Yeah.
Now, the Jordan Hummel is a power forward for the Knickerbockers.
The Jordan picture, it's a photograph of him making that shot against the Jazz, and it's like multiple pieces, so mm-hmm. like you kind of space it out.
Yeah.
And then the Kobe thing is a painting, and it's just like a little painting. And
yeah.
Wow. Just, I have a lot of F art in my home.
I believe that is called a B-hole song.
I almost got you with it.
Well, I thought you said F, A-F-F, like F art.
F art.
I was like, what is that?
So I got a lot of F
art. Talking about B-holes and penises on the radio, Daddy.
Oh, boy.
I got a lot of F art in my place as well.
That's just how white folks will do you.
I did have, I have another piece of art, but I will reveal it when I finally get it, because it's kind of a surprise.
Wait, okay. Why? What is that weird
It's face? A Kesha tour poster, isn't it?
Oh, because it's funny.
Kesha tour poster.
You're going to love it.
The original TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
If he sounds super excited to see you...
Hey, what's up?
Remember, he is a paid performer.
As a broadcaster, he's real good.
Alan Cox on 100.7 double...
...216-578-1007 to join us live, or 800-348-1007. 35192. Send me a text. AlanCoxShow.com. All the other stuff. 5:30 this afternoon is going to be your next chance. Last one today to text and win a trip to L.A. We're giving them away. Well, we did them last week. We're doing them again this week. Three chances every day to get you to this year's iHeartRadio Music Awards, which will go down the 29th of this month at the legendary Shrine Auditorium in L.A. A couple of tickets for the event. We'll fly you out, put you up, get you around, the whole thing. So 5:30. Is going to be your next crack at that. I feel like the Shrine Auditorium is where they had the Oscars for many, many years. I don't know if I'm misremembering that or not. But that's kind of a classic venue out in L.A. You know, all these other events and things that are shutting down because of what's going on with COVID-19. You know what's still going along strong and nobody's worried at all? Are orgies and sex clubs. I guess these people figure, look, if whatever we might be walking around with ain't killed us yet, we're going to be okay. There's this high-end orgy organization. They have them in L.A. They have them in New York. They're called Sanctum. Pound Cake might be hip to this.
My ears did perk up. I was like, I'm listening. I've heard of this. Continue.
This might be worth flying across the country. Seeing as how you can probably get a seat now for $55.
How do you know?
They're starting at $48.
Yeah. It's called Sanctum. SNCTM. And this is a high-end, I think it's like very wealthy people, like Eyes Wide Shut type of stuff. But they do these orgies a couple times a year. And they said that the ones in L.A. and New York are going to continue. They're not worried about it at all. They've already canceled South by Southwest in Austin. They've canceled a British Marmalade Festival.
Oh, come on!
And all kinds of other things. But these sex parties, as this person wrote, are thrusting ahead regardless. Well, they've got an orgy coming up this Saturday in L.A.
It's just so weird to hear you say that.
Another one.
Not saying it like a cookout.
But he's plugging it.
Sure, well, I mean, why not?
An orgy.
If you've got the means, you know, Saturday in L.A., the next one in Manhattan is going to be on April the 11th.
We've How much got did it cost?
Bureau Chiefs on both coasts.
They have a date, like why people can research this. Like, I know not everyone's going to be able to get in, but, like, why would you want people knowing where you're doing all your dirt?
Well, nobody knows.
Well, they have masks. The club demands that men wear tuxes and women wear either lingerie or cocktail gowns. And masks must be worn for arrival.
That's fun.
Like this ski mask?
This is very different than the story that I heard.
Or a Halloween mask.
Baklavas.
Baklavas?
Like a
masquerade?
Masquerade mask.
Okay.
People walk around on all fours and
so not Spider-Man.
Not Spider-Man, not a werewolf.
If you Shrek. Showed a Spider-Man mask.
No, not a Mandalorian. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
This is the way.
No Baby Yoda's right
to the orgy room. They are trying to, they're trying to kind of keep it classy. I assume that these are rich guys who, and then the room's full of hookers.
I was going to say,
it's supposedly open to men and women, but let's be real.
Women aren't paid for it.
Well, they might be like sugar babies or something, wealthy hookers. And
yeah. I have escorts.
It's a hooker.
I have a friend that I question sometimes because he says he's a model, but I think he dabbles in the escort scene, and I just don't think he's like comfortable enough to share it with me.
Well, you start out modeling so you can get to the escort scene.
But like from what I've heard, he told me this story about how every pride season the gays usually migrate over to Fire Island. He said there was this one time, he wasn't in Fire Island, he was like up the coast a bit, like in the Hamptons, and he said there was like there's like a big van that takes all these guys, all the models, to this like undisclosed location, and it's a blacked out mansion, and he said there's just a bunch of people just having sex in there. He said from the outside it looks like a regular everyday house, but then once you get in, he's like, there's a guy in there that takes your phone. He's like, the door's sealed up. He's like, there's guards there.
They got stuff like that in Northeast Ohio. Yeah. These swingers clubs are just suburban bored people.
He said there's celebrities in there. He said it's just, well, that's what he told me.
Like who?
Well, obviously, if he could say it, then he would.
The OxyClean guy.
Why wouldn't he tell you? Who are you going to tell?
The radio?
Oh, like, nobody believes. I mean, so what?
Nobody believes
the radio. I mean, you know, if you're like, oh, Tom Hanks was in the orgy.
Nobody would believe you,
even if he was there.
He said it was people that, if he said, you would know. Like, you would know off the top of your head, you would recognize. But he said there's one guy that's behind it all. He said it must be some type of a pimp or something like that. But he arranges it. He said he was on the talent side, a.k.a. the model prostitution side. And he said, you're either a rich guy or you're an escort. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, sure. But they try to make these sound like, you know, they're high end, you know, because everybody remembers that movie Eyes Wide Shut and they think it's going to be like that. It's just escort services. It's rich dudes and hookers. So they said,
this sounds fun.
Condoms are a quote light suggestion.
Light suggestion. Wear a condom.
I'm sure everybody's tested.
It doesn't matter.
You think everyone's tested?
Why would you want to go to an orgy party and you'd be the one person that's not tested?
I bet you're probably not going to tell anybody.
I bet you anything not everybody's tested at this thing.
Yeah, it's working.
Everyone's going to be responsible. I imagine you going to an orgy, you would have your, you know, shrimp together.
But also, if you're paying that kind of money,
you don't care.
You don't want to bag.
You want to be able to spew wherever you want to spew.
Yep.
You think people going to high-end orgies give a rat's ass about...
Literally a rat's ass.
I'm going to need to see your papers, madame.
We kind of glossed over this, but do you not think of a sugar baby as a prostitute?
No.
That's not prostitution.
You must have a friend who does that, and you feel a little bit defensive.
Listen,
about
I'm not going to say anything.
Say yes or no.
Yeah, no, I have a friend.
Of course
who does
you do.
That.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, but,
I have friends too.
But she, a guy or a girl?
She is with a guy. She's a sugar baby to a dude.
But she knows what it is. You don't have to cover for her. She knows what she's doing.
No, but they like do things together. It's not always, she doesn't like go to his house, they bang and he pays her. They like go to dinner. She's like, they hang out a lot and they don't even have sex.
The unspoken thing with these websites is that it's not for sex. That's how they get girls to feel more comfortable about. I'm not comfortable talking about it.
You're comfortable about it.
More comfortable.
You are comfortable. So,
are you comfortable?
I don't know how often I believe that the girl is not having sex. I feel like that's something they say.
It's 50% of the time. Half the time that they'll, like...
So she has
They'll go out... Yeah, they've had sex, but it's almost like we're dating. Like, I'm like dating this guy, but it's a business.
Dating.
Seriously.
It's girlfriend experience. That's prostitution.
She says you go out, you have dinner, we hang out. Sometimes he drops me off at home. Sometimes we have sex. Sometimes we go together and go to the movies, and it's 2 hours.
But she's an escort. You don't have to have sex every single time to... And that's okay.
What's the difference between being a prostitute and dating, then?
Not much.
So then you can't sit here and say some people are
we're not paying for
I'm not
sex.
Paying for sex.
You're not paying for sex, but you're paying for dinners, clothes, birthdays.
Yeah, but sometimes she pays for some things too.
I'm just saying. There's plenty of rich. There are plenty of women dating rich guys who, just because they're not part of an escort service, you guys would qualify them as prostitutes.
Well, no,
as well.
They're dating guys because they're rich.
So I'm saying it's
the
not...
And because the guy knows they're dating them because they're rich, the implication is that there will be sex on demand.
Because of the implication.
Doesn't mean it happens all the time, but I think it's implied. That's part of the unspoken agreement that, like, look, we're not doing this because... these rich guys could get any girl to do what your friend's doing.
Right.
If you wouldn't.
He picked her. Is she on a website?
This she went through like an actual website. Oh,
man. So she's on a website.
I was trying to root for you.
What? No. She's a sugar baby.
She's a prostitute. But
none of it. And by the way,
do you get what I'm saying? But that anybody like, dating someone of means to you guys is a prostitute.
No, it's not.
She sleeps with him, and then she gets a $600 bag.
That's just like the whole.
And that's prostitution.
And sex is involved in the equation. I'm not. By the way, I'm not saying any of this is bad. I'm just trying to, you know,
just being honest.
I'm saying where you're only saying that she's a prostitute because she signed up online.
No. No, I'm saying that she's in a relationship with a guy who... Are you trying to tell me that when he buys her a $600 bag, that's not
her.
That's a transaction.
I'm saying other people, not her, not my friend. There are plenty of women dating their boyfriends for the things they buy them.
But this guy is not her boyfriend.
What I'm saying is that she's in more of like a regular relationship with this guy going out than any other chick who's banging a rich dude. It's exact. But the
would she have dated him if
he
weren't rich?
There's, but what I'm saying is there's
would
so
she
many
have dated
people
him?
Doing that.
She got on a website that specifically hooks women
you
up with rich dudes.
Listening to what I'm saying.
I am listening.
She didn't meet him on Tinder. She met him on Sugar arranged connections.
But take that out of it. Say it's just
take
a girl.
Take the website out of
take
it.
Take the website out of it. It's a girl dating a guy. He's rich. They hook up. And he buys her a purse.
Trips, purses, shoes, hair, nails. People do that every day, and you don't look at it as prostitution.
But no, you can't take... Do. Okay, and this... Fine, but you can't take the website out of it.
I get it, but I'm saying it's the exact same thing.
No.
Women do this all the time. They just don't sign up on a website.
Fine. We're talking about your friend.
Right.
Your friend did sign up on a website for the express purpose of meeting a rich guy to pay for things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the implication is... We will also have sex.
But I'm saying this, that if you even if you didn't meet on a website, if you are dating that person only because of the money and you wouldn't date that person otherwise, then that is prostitution.
It is a form. You are kind of prostituting yourself in the broadest sense.
Okay, fine.
In
then,
the broadest
then look
sense.
At it all the same then.
It's transactional. It's not for love.
Because would she be dating this guy if she was in a relationship with someone else, or would the guy be cool with her, like, dating her or having sex with her if she was in a relationship?
That I don't know about any of that.
Right. Technically, she's not in a relationship, so she's free to date whoever she chooses. Yeah. So
but
would that be
okay? But
plenty
of people have open relationships like that.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your friend in particular.
Okay, fine. You guys want to call my friend a prostitute? That's fine. What I'm saying is
does
that...
Does she listen?
No. Yeah.
By
I'm
the way, there's nothing,
live here.
There's nothing wrong with being a prostitute.
I get it, but what I'm saying is that I think it's painted with a broad brush saying that... saying that... All of these women are doing prostitution when there are plenty of women doing the exact same thing, but just because they didn't meet online, people are like, oh, she's just a gold digger.
Well, I'm saying that
then that's gold also digging prostitution. Is prostitution.
Yes, exactly, yes.
That's all I wanted you to say.
Yes, yeah. They're hoes too.
Yeah.
They're hoes too.
Right. And they ate.
They what? Just happen to meet those
they
guys. They just happen to meet those guys another way.
As soon as you're gone or the money runs out, like, your soul, their soul's the highest bidder.
That's fine. I take issue with people being like, oh, sugar babies are prostitutes, but your friend is over here banging some 80-year-old because he's got money.
Did
it's
you
the
feel
exact
that
same thing?
Did you feel that way before your friend got on the website?
I don't think I really had an opinion about it, to be honest.
Everybody's
with you.
And got an opinion,
really
especially
know,
chicks.
I didn't really know it was real. You hear about it, but I never knew anybody who did it. So I'm like, oh, that's just the thing they do in real. New York
SeekingArrangement.com.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize it was actually something you could do.
Because guys love to say that. They go, nope, you can pay for it either way, whether it's dinners.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not what I'm talking about. This is with the implied...
Same pretty woman.
The underlying connective tissue here is she got on a website.
Right.
For the express... If a girl meets a guy at a bar and it turns out he's rich, she's probably, if she's that way, in the back of her head's going to go, oh, I got to make this into something.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But again, I believe it becomes transactional. If she's not dating him with intent to actually, like, develop feelings, but she's just like, well, he buys me things and he gives me a little bit of money here and there or whatever, and, you know, it's never been said that this is what the agreement is, but that's kind of what they're working out, what they're doing, that's... prostitution.
She in school? She paying for school?
And again, I don't have a problem with it either.
She's 29.
But I think just be honest about it.
Well, long in the tooth for doing this, isn't it?
She's hot.
doesn't matter. 29.
So, Mary, is your friend allowed to say no to things? Like, if they were in...
I haven't talked to her about it like that much, but the way that
she was like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, the way that she describes it to me is that it's very much just like dating an older man. She's like, we go to dinner sometimes. She does, but I don't know if she tells him. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know if it's an open relationship.
But she wouldn't want to date a... Not poor, but she wouldn't want to date like a middle-class older guy.
I don't know.
You do know. That's why she went on the website. There are plenty of middle-class older guys out there. Mm-hmm. I'm married, but if I weren't, I'd be out there slaying. Whatever, you know what I mean?
Be back to his old DJ name, Alan Slade.
S-L-A-Y-E-D.
All I'm saying is, if you want to get finicky about it, dating in general could be a form of prostitution. I will pay for your dinner in hopes that you sleep with me. That sounds like prostitution, doesn't it?
Yes, but prostitution is, all right, then. I will buy you dinner and you are going to sleep with me.
That's what I'm saying with the escort thing. Yeah. It's not all the time.
But you come out.
It's implied, though.
But all of dating is, I guess not. That's not a progressive thing for a woman to say. No. That it's pretty implied that if you go out with somebody for a couple times, they're going to sleep with you. Nobody would date just to
but
go be friends
the
with
option
people.
To say no is the difference.
And from the way she's saying it, she has the option. I'm not going to say that. I'm
and
not
don't, and people who meet at the Harry Buffalo aren't hoping to get a Birkin bag out of the deal.
All right.
Of course, your friend's not going to tell you that. Like, oh my gosh, Mary, if I leave, he's going to come after me.
He's going to come after her.
There's nothing wrong with any of this.
Right. I was just going
to. I don't know why girls don't do it more, honestly.
Because it's dangerous.
No, it's not. When you actually go through
you
a
vet
website,
these guys,
these
that's why you go through the website.
But it
like
follows
that.
You because you can, you know, find your dream guy after him, and then he's like, oh, so where were you doing from this time to this time?
I was needed money, and I'm hot.
She probably doesn't put it on her resume.
Checking your HOFAX, and then you'd be like, well, who was this guy Barney that you've been talking about?
How to Get Syphilis by Don Schlote and G. Warren Schlote Jr.
Your HOFAX.
Yes. All her friends would be like, I like Tanya, but she. For like 2 years before she met you, she was walking around with this really old guy. And then I go back and ask Tanya, so Tanya, who was that old guy you walked around with?
What does it matter? It was before you. You can't hold people's past against them.
I would ask about it. If I'm going
to... What does it matter?
If I see a future with you, I would want to ask.
What does it matter?
It does matter.
That was in the past. It has nothing to do with you.
I'm not going
to
say... But it matters
to him. Wait. If you were dating someone... You wouldn't want them to know if they had been a male escort before you?
How does it change our relationship?
Nah, that's unfair.
I feel.
Explain to me how it changes our relationship.
Would you want
Being
to
honest.
Know?
I'm
not saying
care.
It would change. You wouldn't care.
But
no.
you want. I
Let's say
know.
You've been dating someone for a year.
Okay.
And somebody tells you, you know, Homer was a.
Homer?
Yeah, Homer and Mary.
Okay.
Mary and Homer, whatever sounds better. You can get top billing. There's a rumor that Homer was a male escort.
So what?
Okay.
That really wouldn't bother me.
Okay, that's a perfectly valid response. Mm-hmm. I kind of don't believe you.
I really
But
really
I'll take you at your word. Okay.
Only because I can't control anything that you did before me.
But
and
you
I
would
can't
all,
change
you
anything.
Would, you'd have a lot know. Of questions.
Why let it something that you cannot change bother you, especially if you're into somebody
so
like
you mean
that?
To tell me if you had a guy and every single guy, girlfriend he had before you, he cheated on. He was a serial cheater. And
oh, you got me there. Because, Yeah,
Good
that's
job.
A pet
okay.
mouth because that would really bother me.
Because that's BS.
But that's because you have a pre-existing condition.
I have a pre-existing condition
you do.
With cheaters. Mm-hmm. Yes,
right.
absolutely.
He's a serial cheater. Every girl he cheated on. And then he got to you. He's like, oh, you changed my life. And then you talk to his friends at the bar and you're like, yeah, Chet says that to every guy.
That would make me very,
every
very
girl.
Nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But people can time. Change. But people can change.
You're his 18th girlfriend.
Now, what
he
if he was cheating?
On 17 girls before me. Yeah. I'm probably not going to be the one he changes for. Mm-hmm. I'm not an idiot. So, I mean. Mm.
But if he was just open and honest about being a male prostitute, that's okay.
It's what he had to do. We're prostituting ourselves out for laughs.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's the same thing. Hey, I'm going to entertain you. It may not be with my butt, but it's with my voice, so give me money.
With your fanny?
With your butt.
It's with my... I can't get back into it. Rubbish. Come laugh at my fanny.
Come over here and laugh at me fanny.
Laugh at me fanny, I'll tell you a quick one.
But prostitution by definition...
I'll buy you a Birkin bag.
Prostitution by definition, though, involves sex. So you're not prostituting yourself out for laughs unless you're having sex with people at the merch table. So, well, maybe Bill, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
I was like, Bill is on record for having
I don't know what trapping woodchucks really means.
Sex at the merch table.
I've actually never, I don't think I've ever hooked up with somebody I've met after a show. I think.
Comics don't bang hecklers, just like
comics
that video.
Comics don't bang hecklers? No.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
No, it's, again.
So, pound cake, you got me, though.
It's all fine. I'm just, you know.
I don't think I'd be upset if somebody was, that's their past, whatever, but the, man, that is a.
But the option to know
is. What's the word I'm looking for?
Just as your past informs your present.
Mm-hmm.
So theirs informs your present with them. I would absolutely want to know.
I would
want to
know.
I would want to know. I'm not saying it would change anything.
Does that make me hypocritical?
Yeah.
The cheating thing makes me upset, but the prostitution thing doesn't?
You have different priorities. No, you have different priorities.
My girlfriend actually told me one night that she was like a cuddler. And I thought she was serious. She was joking, but I didn't know she was joking until like a month ago.
Did it upset you?
In the moment, yeah.
Like when you pay people to cuddle you.
Why would that upset you?
Well, because she said she still had some clients, and this is like back in like June of last year, and I thought she was like being serious about it. And I'm like, okay, if that's something you do, something you do. And then I brought it up a few weeks ago, and I was like, hey, whatever happened to that cuddling thing? And she's like, that was a joke. I'm like, really?
Oh, God.
The whole time.
The whole time.
She forgot about
yeah,
it.
Like, I think it was like right before we actually got into a relationship. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to bring this up because.
Also,
yeah.
Having sex and being a prostitute or a male escort or whatever as a way to pay your bills or to do whatever, to get income, is different than being unfaithful. But those are two totally different things.
What if you're doing it and you're not making a lot of money at it? You're just doing
you're
it for
just
the
not
love
very
of the game.
Good at it?
Yeah, you're like making $25 a pop.
And that's just poor. I shouldn't be with somebody making those kind of poor decisions to begin with. That's a red flag. But I don't feel hypocritical about the cheating thing only because it's like
past
you
is a
have
past, Mary.
No, but you have a history of being unfaithful to your partner is different than this is the type of business I was in.
Yeah, again, I'm just saying you have different priorities. It'd be like if somebody was like, oh, I didn't know that you used to own an ocelot.
What if they had?
I don't like ocelots.
What if they had male and female clients as a prostitute?
That doesn't bother me.
What
I
if
really
they had
wouldn't.
Male and female genitalia?
As a prostitute?
Again, top dollar.
Whatever.
Or bottom dollar, depending on what the client wants.
However you make your money is fine, don't
yeah!
you?
Yeah! All right.
Make your money, sleep with whoever, as long as we're not together.
You heard it there first, gents. However you make your money.
Just don't cheat on me.
Mary Santora. That's
right.
It's
simple.
Man, that blows the whole thing open. You don't cheat on her. You could do whatever you want professionally.
Sure.
Fantastic. That's a good way to be.
Yeah.
You're growing as a person.
Aren't I, though?
I think so.
What if they just cheat when they play games with you?
Even worse. You should see me try to play Uno with my 8-year-old niece. I'm like, I'm not playing with you anymore. That's not the rules.
I had a feeling.
No, I'm not good with that.
I stopped doing that with my daughter. I had to.
I call her out.
I consciously had to make myself not be such a curmudgeon when it comes to, because I'm very much like, that's not how you play this.
Yes.
And then I'm like, she's 4, let's have fun.
Right,
like,
right,
yeah,
right,
at 4
right.
you can do that, right. But by the time she's 8, you got to start really playing. So that she can get good at Uno.
Yeah.
Get good at Uno. You know, and that comes in handy later in life. You want to make sure you got your Uno skills nailed down.
To all our men and women in uniform.
I've been a lifelong fan, 20 years in the military, come back, and the Find Your Afternoon show is f***ing horrible.
Thanks. From the Alan Cox Show.
Horrible.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Three 5 1 9 2. Want to send me a text? You can check in on the Alan Cox Show After Hours line anytime if you are a podcast listener and can't check in live or listen live and get what? 216-986-8903. That number is always at your disposal. About an hour and some change from now, 5:30 is going to be where you're going to be able to text next to try to get yourself to LA for the 2020 iHeartRadio Music Awards, which will go down live at the Shrine Auditorium on the 29th of this month. There are 3 chances every day for you to win these trips. One with Rover, one with Allie, one with me at 5:30. I think 9:01 and 9:30, 1:30. I don't have the times in front of me. 9:30 with Rover, 1:30 with Allie, 5:30 with me. So it's just this week, today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. We've got a short show on Thursday because we're going to be airing a spring training Tribe game. They're playing the San Diego Padres. So that's a 4:05 first pitch from out west. So we'll do a little bit of a show here on Thursday. Cavs in Chicago tonight to play the Bulls. Congratulations to head coach MJ Flickerstick. They have announced that the Cavs have agreed to a multi-year contract with him.
Oh, really?
So they like what they see so far. This is from Kelsey Russo over at The Athletic.
Dang, that was fast.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So LT Birkenbag is going to be heading up the Cavs for a little while longer. I don't know what multi-year means. That could be two for all we know.
J.B. Bickerstaff.
I don't know who that is. But the Cavs coach, H.R. Puffin stuff, is on his... They like what they see. Mm-hmm. They're 5-5 with the guy, right?
Yeah.
So they've locked him down and signed him up. So congratulations to him. Should be like the new Vuvuzela or something. Who? So that's good news. What?
Who? Valda Salsa.
Oh. Who?
What?
Did he say who when I mentioned the Vuvuzela?
Oh,
who?
I got
is
it
what
wrong.
He said?
Yeah.
What?
Who do you think the Vuvuzela is, Punky?
I don't know.
Don't you remember the horns that were making all the noise at the World Cup years ago? The mm-hmm. Vuvuzela is what they were making.
Oh.
Horns. It's not a who, it's a what.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I've got some breaking news.
Alan Cox Show! Exclusive news tonight!
Is it COVID-19 related?
It is not.
Oh,
for
right.
once.
Aww.
Thank Christ. Mm. No, but it's just
working.
Just as fun.
Okay.
Alex Jones arrested on a DUI.
Oh,
in there.
Oh,
in,
my goodness.
Early this morning in Texas.
So he's drunk from last night.
No, he they ate are too much on... chili, forgot how to drive.
They are on Central Time, I believe, down in Austin. He says he contends he wasn't even legally drunk.
Mm-hmm.
There is a part of me that feels bad for Alex Jones. Because on the one hand, people say, screw this guy. He's done so much damage to public discourse, and he has slandered people and libeled them and blah, blah, blah. But in the process, going down this road that he had to, because that's where his meal ticket was talking to the rubes and the tinfoil hat people, lost his kids, got a divorce. I mean, he got deplatformed from everything that put him in front of other people, so now he's just kind of back to where he started. And I don't know. I don't know. There's a part of me that feels weird for Alex Jones, because I never think that these people actually believe all the nonsense. They're just doing what they like to do. You know, you start going down that road, next thing you know, you're making a real good living from it.
But would you feel bad for somebody that who's sold out?
Not selling out. I don't think selling out's even a thing anymore.
Well,
I mean,
that's
just,
what it is.
Know.
Even if he didn't believe these things, he chose to take the money over his beliefs. Isn't that what selling out is?
Well, not from the beginning. I think he found a niche, and he was like, man, I can really do... He started on like cable access or local radio in Austin back when he had hair. And like in college, I think, is when Alex Jones kind of started his thing. And then it mushroomed and blossomed into InfoWars and, you know... But if you're getting arrested on a Tuesday morning for a DUI...
He's lit going up on a Tuesday.
He was booked into the Travis County Jail in Austin a little after midnight. So not like this morning,
oh.
like right after midnight this morning. And he was released shortly after 4 a.m.
What did he blow if he said he wasn't legally...
He said that he'd been drinking a small amount of sake at a Japanese restaurant. He said he blew under the legal limit, which is .08 mm-hmm. down there in Texas. But Texas law, however, allows for a driver to be charged with a DUI, even if they're under the limit, if they're considered to be impaired. So I guess they're saying law enforcement's got some latitude here. So maybe he wasn't. Maybe he wasn't drunk. This is just going to... I mean, this is good for him, ultimately, because it feeds into whatever he can tell his people about the police state mm-hmm. coming after us. Whatever. But again, years ago, he gets picked up every so often for being drunk. They're like, you know, a couple years ago, they were like, this guy smelled, he had a Dixie cup in his car, smelled like it was full of paint thinner. So, you know, I don't know.
I was like, maybe that's what it was. It's not illegal, right? He's not legally drunk if he's drinking paint thinner.
Listen, he's illegally drunk. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. I don't have to tell you, but there's a part of me that that feels a little, I don't know. In as much as I feel empathy for anyone, and I know there are some odd targets of that, there's just something about the Alex Jones thing, because I don't think he's, I don't know.
I'm glad he didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, me too.
That's the biggest thing with anybody that drives drunk.
But then again, I forget about all the Sandy Hook stuff, and then I'm like, mm-hmm. Screw that guy.
Yeah, F that guy.
That's what I'm saying.
I forget about that. There's been so much Alex Jones stuff that sometimes I just think of the goofy crap where he has a shirt off and amnesia chili and all that. And then I go, oh, right. And then he told all those Sandy Hook parents that their kids normally die.
Yeah.
Or that, yeah, so F that guy. You're right. I take it all back.
Okay.
Screw him.
America first! America first! Get that through your head, dude! America first! America first! You heard that before? What? America first! America first! What the hell, man? Dude! America first! America first! To all of you, let me explain one damn thing. America, 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 dude! You understand? America, 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 my point is America's first. America, 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 what the hell, man? Bubbles, no! Goblins, no! This is it. Everybody get ready! America first! America first! Get that through your head, dude! America first! America first! You heard that before? What? America first! America first! Get that through your head! America first! America first!
What a goddamn banger that thing is, boy.
It's so good.
You can have your Corona song all you want, right? Give me America first. Are you going to have Corona time?
Hey, it's Corona time right now. It's Corona time. It's Corona time. Hey, it's Corona time right now.
I mean, I do like that guy, whoever that is.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
But I don't know who the guy is. Now, insofar as adults showing up drunk, I love this guy in Massachusetts who shows up to a middle school drunk. He's late, he's drunk, and he's dressed up in Revolutionary War regalia because he was going to address this class as a Revolutionary War reenactor. So I think you can probably infer why he was drunk in the morning, if that's his life. But in Massachusetts, they said he didn't ever get to his speech because they were able to tell easily. This guy showed up half an hour late to talk to the kids, and he was visibly drunk. And so the school officer or whatever arrested the guy on the spot, and that the principal was the one who realized that something was off with this person. 60-year-old Dennis Cormier.
60?
Well, he's a Revolutionary War reenactor. You're not going to find a lot of young bucks doing 20, that.
I pictured a young dude in a wig, like, who's a history major.
You pictured the guy from The Office.
Yeah, you pictured someone LARPing.
No.
Oh, the Benedict, what was his?
Ben Franklin?
Ben Franklin,
He was probably 60. I pictured like a young drunk kid.
It's Andy Daly.
Oh, I don't know. I thought he was old. Either way, I pictured a young person drunk. Now,
this guy was 60. And he showed up drunk. And the cops had to take him into custody.
He was in a Revolutionary War outfit when we took him into custody. The principal realized there was something wrong, let the gentleman know that the event was going to be canceled for the day, and then she contacted me. This one is just out of the ordinary. Schools have this all the time, and I'm sure when they hire someone like this, they never plan on it. So just notice when everyone's coming to your building, keep an eye on them, or it can happen. The kids were just notified that the presentation wasn't taking place that day.
Kids, now, here's my question. You're surrounded by adults. There are teachers. There's a lawman there. And you've got some kids. So what? He's drunk. Can you imagine the speech these kids would have been privy to if they had let this guy? He clearly knows a lot about the Revolutionary War. That's why he was there. And even drunk, I bet he still would have been able to give them a lesson they would have never forgotten.
And I bet there were a lot of people that were drunk during the Revolutionary
War.
That's
what I'm saying. It might be historically accurate.
Yes.
Why am I wasted? Because they just saw my foot off. That's what happens when your boots don't fit.
That's right.
You need size 8, they give you size 4, so I put off.
He had a blood alcohol content of 0.205.
He had a blood alcohol level of 1776.
Three times the legal limit there.
1776!
In Massachusetts. Somebody,
Damn, that's good.
Somebody sent me a photo of their... a receipt at a restaurant they were at the other night with tax that. It was 1776. They were like, I so wanted to yell this out in the restaurant, but it really caused a scene.
I'm George Washington.
Said he never interacted with the students, and the parents are shocking and disturbing, but they should have let this guy address the kids. Granted, if he hadn't been able to get anything intelligible out at that point, then they would have escorted him out and arrested him. But they should have tried to let him address the kids. They could have potentially learned. They're not teaching kids anything anyway.
I wanted to like turn it into a drinking game. It's like one pint for every colony. Name one. Go ahead, say it. Try it. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
You want me? You want some tea party? I'll spill some tea right now. The red coats look great.
It's a good color on them, but it is like it doesn't exactly work for battle.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I can see so far away.
So this was in like I don't know, somewhere in Massachusetts.
No, I love it.
By the way, I didn't even realize. I thought that this was much further along, but I was reading a thing that Boston. There's a place called Pure Oasis in Boston. It is the first marijuana shop in a major East Coast city.
All right.
Is in Boston. I figured they had them all up and down the Eastern Seaboard by this time.
Mm-mm.
The first recreational pot shop in a major East Coast city opened yesterday, and it's in Boston.
Cool.
They said they were preparing for up to 1,000 customers a day to visit the store. It's also the first pot shop owned and operated by black entrepreneurs.
Good for them. That's right? Awesome.
So there you go. So if you are one of our Boston Bureau Chiefs, or more specifically, if you're in Dorchester...
I'll be there in May.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Stop by Pure Oasis.
I'm gonna.
It's a minority-owned business, and it's the East Coast's first big pot shop. There are already roughly 40 retail marijuana locations in the state of Massachusetts, but this is the only one that's black-owned, and it is also the first one... in a major metropolitan area there. So there's something.
Getting closer.
Mm-hmm. I was reading about a woman who had been arrested after paying bail for a friend. Was it her bail or someone else's? She was posting bail for someone else in cash, and the cops were like, it smelled like a pot farm, the money that she brought in. So a woman in Louisiana... And she brought $5,000 cash to post a friend's bail. And the people said that it smelled, it was completely smelled like marijuana.
It had to reek, dude.
Now, I love her name. She's 33. Her name is Stormy Lynn Parfait.
Yeah, it is.
Stormy Lynn Parfait.
That's the greatest name I've heard in any story. I didn't care about this story until I saw the name.
You know why? Because she has layers.
Yeah.
Much like a parfait.
I'll tell you what.
A layer of pot.
Ooh.
Probably a layer of Coke in there somewhere.
Yep. All you got to do is dig in a little bit to get to her creamy center.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, man. Ooh. Right into the custard.
There she is.
She got a fanny full of custard, Bill.
Fanny full of custard playing at the Agora this
weekend.
Hey! I got a fanny full of custard.
Yeah. So anyway, Stormy Lynn Parfait walks in with $5,000 cash, and the cops smell it, so they go out to search her car. They found 40 grand more in cash, along with 100 Klonopin pills and a food stamp card that was not registered to her.
Klonopin? Jeez!
They found hundreds of additional pills in cash, as well as pot, coke, and paraphernalia when they searched her home, and 4 unattended children were turned over to a relative. Jesus!
Okay, I have a question.
So again, this is the amazing thing.
The big one just watches the little one, so it's not that big a deal.
Russian nesting dolls.
I've been on that
trip. 5 years old before, she's ready to do it.
That's the amazing thing to me about people who run in drugs, is some of them are master criminals. You'll never know who they are. They're just, you know, they're professional, they're amazing. And then you got the scrubs at the other end who are paying bail with cash that smells like pot.
Well, they can't smell it because they're around it, so they don't...
too used to it.
Well, but, then have someone else go in who's not around the pot all the time.
Klonopin aside, if they find that much money on you, is that does that warrant them to be able to search your home?
Yes.
Like, I think when it smells like something.
Well, that's what, I mean, you can't get in trouble for having money.
No, but if it smells like pot and they go, we want, and again, I don't know what the legality of marijuana is in Louisiana, but that to me sounds like they could easily come up with probable cause. There's a lot of probable cause cases, I think, with law enforcement that's pretty iffy.
So, yeah, I mean,
but this doesn't sound like it's iffy. They're like, ma'am.
You're $5,000 in sequential hundreds all smell like
unmarked. Yeah.
I get it.
This $100
I just didn't know if, like, if she didn't have any pills in her car, if they found $40,000, could they still go check your... I know that's a suspicious amount of money, but you can't tell me. I don't trust banks.
You know what I mean? You mean, like, without the pills.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that.
It's your money.
If they just found... I feel like... Obviously, I'm not a cop, but I feel like if you found $40,000 and it all smelled like weed
in someone's car,
that's enough money where they would say, well, clearly it's intent to distribute.
But what if it doesn't smell like weed?
Intent to distribute what? Your money?
No. If your money smells like pot and you have $40,000 of it, I would imagine that they could.
But maybe if you take, I think you want to take the.
I'm saying take
just
the.
Saying the It's just $40,000.
It's just $40,000 in my car. That's just cash. Where I keep my money.
Oh, no. You can have
can't say anything,
I don't
right?
think so, no. Yeah. You're not at the airport. I mean, you got to declare certain amounts of money, but no. If you have $40,000,
just
like you said.
Just throw them in, crumple it up and throw it in the back seat. That's your savings account.
I don't like
crumple
banks.
I don't trust banks.
I trust the back seat of my car.
I was like, on
nobody can break into this bank, my rolling four or five windowed car.
My name is Earl. He won $100,000 from the lottery and then kept it under his car seat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like, I don't understand why my fish wagon keeps getting broken into.
Fish wagon.
I really don't.
Station wagon.
Station wagon.
I thought he said fish wagon. I heard fish wagon,
wow.
too.
I heard station wagon.
I was like, the hell is a fish wagon?
I don't understand how you guys got fish from station.
Mm. I heard fish.
Bill's outnumbered.
Okay.
You know what you said. Bill heard what you said. She and I heard fish wagon.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
I heard station wagon, so...
I don't know.
Fish wagon and fanny full of custard at the Agora this weekend. It's going to be a rager.
No, won't. Coronavirus. Ain't nobody going
Starts there. At 3. That coronavirus, please. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. You'll be fine.
And especially at the Agora. The place is pristine.
Pristine.
Yes, of course.
You can say it.
By the way, there's some places you'll walk into and they smell like bleach, and up till now that's been very annoying. Now it's going to be comforting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'll be like, hey, this place smells like bleach.
Perfect.
Who cares if it's a burger joint? (35192) to shoot me a text. AlanCoxShow.com. Want to watch the show? You can do it there. You can check out Name a Country. That's up there. This week's Alan Cox Show Instagram hotties. Oh, up there for your benefit. Bill and Mary Race from last week, if you still haven't seen that. And Bill's tips for dealing with an invisible man. If you saw that movie, you might feel compelled to read those or watch those. How would any of us know how to contend with someone that we can't see or hear? Bill's got some tips for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Drew, hello.
Hello, sir.
What's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about how, what was it, that last segment about that woman with all that money?
Yeah.
It's federally illegal as a private citizen to hold more than $1,000 at a time unless you're traveling or planning on spending it.
Well, how could she could say she's planning on spending that $40,000. I'm going to go buy a car outright.
I don't dispute that, but it's an actual law called hoarding money. You're not allowed to do that. I had to find that one out the hard way when I was a private contractor.
You had a bunch of money and they came and took it from you?
No, well, I went to one bank to cash a check for a lot of money and went to another bank and got pulled over at a random check. And they're like, well, yeah, you can't have this much money on you at one point in time.
Seems
I'm
weird.
Like, what?
Well, yeah, I know. And it gets murky, too, with like civil forfeiture. I know a lot of people mention that where a lot of police, they'll get creative in how they can take things from people. And I think money's a big part of that. But
$1,000 seems pretty low.
You can't have more than $1,000.
Like, kids get more than that for graduation.
What kids are these?
If you, they have you mean a total? I mean yeah, total. Yeah. Yeah. If they get a, they go to have a graduation party, they probably will have more than $1,000 by the end of it. I guess it's checks and stuff, but
I mean that's what I was told and by a police officer, so I tend to believe him. You know.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you, sir.
All right. There's Drew out in Cuyahoga Falls.
Grand. That yeah, seems low. Real low. $1,000. There's, I mean, depending on if you have a service industry, a really good one, you can walk out with more than $1,000 in a night.
Sure.
Or stripper.
Or prostitute.
Okay.
Personal question.
Right.
Just because I'm curious.
Uh-huh.
Mary, what is the most money you've ever had in your bank account at one time?
It was
that's
right at...
Really...
That's okay. I don't care.
But I know Mary's comfortable answering
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I talk about how poor I am all the time.
Yeah.
Right after my wedding got called off, I had just under $5,000. It was like $4,800, and that's the most money I've ever had.
Was that like euphoric seeing that in your account? Like, oh my gosh, I have $4,800 in my account.
Well, I was an idiot, and I was newly single and living in Lakewood, and I had my own apartment, and that's... I was just buying whatever I wanted whenever I wanted to do it and buy. Oh, I deserve a $200 dinner because I can afford. Which really, $4,800 is not a lot of money.
Not at all.
But yeah, around $5,000 is the most money I've ever had.
Wow.
That's why when we were talking about people making $2,000 a week last week, I was like, "What are you talking about?
Sure.
Like, that's not real.
It's not real. Right. It's not real, Mary.
Yeah."
Well, I didn't think... Do you remember a couple of years ago where there was a lot of controversy
mm-hmm.
over these two audio pieces that went viral?
Mm-hmm.
There was Brainstorm and Green Needle.
Yeah.
Remember that?
It
was
we
on a
did
toy.
That.
Yeah, it was on a toy or something. Do you remember what the other one was?
Laurel and Yanni.
Laurel and Yanni. Now, I didn't think that Fish Wagon was going to follow suit.
Oh, bring it on!
But with our customers in the audience, it has followed suit.
They heard Fishwagon too?
I'm going to try to find the clip because it's still kind of loading from last segment. But
is this how we find out who has the coronavirus? The people that can hear Fishwagon and Fishwagon? Yeah, see, here we go. Yep, see, y'all better pay me, State of Ohio.
It was right before the break. Poundcake said Station Wagon. Bill heard him say that. Mary and I both thought he said Fishwagon.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Earl. He won $100,000 from the lottery and then kept it under his car seat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like I don't understand why my fish wagon keeps getting broken into.
That's fish wagon.
Fish station wagon. Wagon. That is station wagon.
I need to hear it again. Because the first time okay, I heard station it. Wagon, but then hearing it again, it sounds like he kind of eats his words and says fish wagon.
Yeah, like he always does, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought he said fish wagon.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Earl. He won $100,000 from the lottery and then kept it under his car seat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like I don't understand why my fish wagon keeps getting broken into.
Fish wagon.
Really fish wagon.
Station wagon.
Now you tell him I'm going to play a Brainstorm and Green Needle.
I hate this one.
Now, depending on which word you focus on, you will hear them both.
Yeah.
Yanni and Laurel, that didn't happen to me. Brainstorm and Green Needle, I heard both.
Great.
No, you hear them both?
I hear Brainstorm. That's
you
it.
Hear Brainstorm. Yeah. I hear Brainstorm.
I heard Brainstorm first and then Green Needle.
Yeah,
second.
Brainstorm and Green Needle.
Green Needle.
Okay.
When I changed it in my head, I heard Green Needle.
Now, Yanni and Laurel, I only ever heard Laurel. I don't know where people got Yanni, but they did.
Laurel.
Who was hearing Yanni?
I don't know. I thought it was Yanni. What's the name of the singer?
Yanni.
It was Yanni that people were hearing because they like interviewed him about it. And he was like, I don't know.
Oh.
Like, he was like on a private jet.
I'm a rich Greek flute player. What do you want from me?
I think it had something to do with like how you hear it, too. Because I feel like when I'd listen to it on my phone, I'd hear Yanni. And then when I'd listen to it on my headphones, I'd hear Laurel.
Oh, like if it was compressed or
yeah.
something.
Here's car seat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like I don't understand why my fish wagon keeps getting broken into.
I'm telling you, he said fish wagon.
Same fish wagon.
Yeah.
Fish wagon.
Fast wagon. Check it and see.
Fish wagon.
Oh, boy. Fish wagon.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It's like the Dixie Chicks song, right?
Fish
riding
wagon.
On the fish wagon. Didn't they have a song called Fish Wagon?
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
All right. Well, I'm going with Fish Wagon. Hanging on the fish wagon.
Laurel.
Anyway. So I'm on, I don't really go through it all that often, but I'm on the Cameo app, which is where you pay people to do greetings for friends or family or whatever. And I got dealing with a couple of Cameo requests. But I don't ever really go through the app to see who else is on there. There are a lot of very high-profile people on there. Caitlyn Jenner, I think, might be one of the most expensive cameos on there. Because they're kind of trying to price themselves out, so they're not doing it all day long. So they're like, I'll do it, but it's going to cost you $2,500.
Yeah.
Kathy Griffin, I think, is $500. So it ranges from people you know really well, and if you've got some coin to drop, you could get a cool message. Years ago, I bought a voicemail from Tom Hanks for Gwen.
How much
for,
that cost?
For charity. It cost me $400. I thought that was pretty cheap.
You spent $400 on a voicemail? Oh, giving me a hard time about buying this dog. Spent $400 on a voicemail.
Well, it was for charity. Yeah,
for charity. I don't know who she is, but I don't care.
Yeah, well. And,
did she love it?
No, she did not.
She didn't?
She didn't even like it?
She was like, why did you do this?
Oh, my God.
I thought it was so cool because...
Oh, I'm sorry I asked.
I'm glad you asked.
I'm so glad you asked.
It's,
you know I wanted a fish wagon.
You got to write what you wanted them to say, within reason. You gave them, 100 characters or whatever. And I forget what I had him say. It was like, Tom Hanks. Yeah, that Tom Hanks. Hey, forget. I forget what it was, but it was kind of clever. I thought, well, he'll have a chuckle saying this.
Mm-hmm. So she did not keep it, is what I'm guessing.
It never even made it onto her phone because, frankly, we couldn't figure out how to get it on her phone. So it sat on my email for like a year. But she was like, why did you do this? I go, I thought it would be funny if you had Tom Hanks in your outgoing message. And she was like, yeah, I mean, you know. Let me
it's like the harmonica.
Aw.
Well, because I was like... Because she had met him from like working in films for a long time, you know, so just whatever. So I was like, that was the most tenuous connection I had. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel so bad because it was, again, it was for charity. But yeah, she didn't
care.
Man,
that's so funny.
So, you know, whatever. So funny. Not her fault. I mean, it was a kind of a, I thought, oh, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't.
Was she like, are you telling me you want to strand me on an island? Like, I don't understand what you're getting at with right. this.
But anyway, Cameo.
You think I'm a dumb person that wants to run across the country?
Always wait. Is he in Big or is he in...
He's
which one does he
in
get
both.
Cancer?
Forrest Gump.
Not
cancer.
Big.
That's
not
Philadelphia.
Big.
Gets
AIDS. AIDS. Oh, okay.
Yeah, see... Remember when
big.
You know
it's
right?
A big,
yeah, big
tumor.
Where he gets cancer.
Remember in Big when he ran across the country and he got AIDS?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Hey, did you know what Jenny had in what she died of?
I thought she had AIDS.
That's anybody else want to make a guess?
HPV.
Not HPV. No, I always thought it was AIDS too.
Really?
Apparently it was Hep C.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Because that was new, I guess, around that time, too.
New? I thought AIDS was like the hot late 80s,
hey,
early 90s.
That's what you all assume watching the movie, but I guess in the novel, it's Hep C. Because there's a follow-up novel called, like, Gumping Around or something.
Everybody's gumping around, yeah.
That's not what it's called. But
gump.
I like that Bobby Brown song.
But there's a novelization. There's a sequel novel, and it mentions that she had Hep C, not AIDS.
Wow. Wait,
so everybody always likes to make the Hep C jokes, but AIDS jokes about Jenny, but it wasn't AIDS, Hep C.
But you didn't read Gumpin' Around.
No, I didn't read that.
So how did you find out about that?
Because I was listening to Chad Daniels' podcast, and they're making a bunch of jokes about Jenny having AIDS and giving it to her kid and stuff like that, and then listeners of their podcast corrected them.
I see.
So I learned through podcasts.
He's an audio learner.
Mm-hmm. Was Haley Joel Osment their kid in that movie?
Yes.
Okay. Because then he shows up 5 years later in The Sixth Sense, and
not even 5 years later, like 2 years later.
And Tom Hanks was dead the whole time, right?
I thought Forrest Gump was 94.
Oh, maybe, I guess.
Sixth Sense of 99, I think. Yeah. I feel like I was just out of college when Forrest Gump came out.
Child actors always seem like the same age to me. Like, it's very rare that I... Like, as long as they have that dumb haircut that they had.
Well, he definitely looks different now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, Laurel.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Annie.
Let me guess, you can only hear Laurel.
That's right. Yeah. And it was the absolute bane of my existence that everybody tagged me in that audio clip. I had probably, you know, 10 notifications a day. I hear Yanny. I hear Yanny. Like, I don't care.
Well, and it's funny you mention that, because the other thing was that for me, because at the time I was doing adult films under the name Green Needle. And so, don't ask why.
Well, now you're going by Fish Wagon.
Yeah, right. Green Needle versus Fish Wagon was my
Fish Wagon.
Big debut. All right, thank you, Laurel.
No problem.
Sorry to make you relive that nightmare.
That trauma.
Yeah, the trauma.
Laurel.
Yeah, yeah, trying to find it.
My sister texted me and said she hears Yanni.
Really?
Maybe through the radio, sir?
What did the texter say about the Fish Wagon thingy?
They're split. 50-50. Okay. They're like, I'm Team Fish Wagon. And other people are like, I heard Station Wagon. I'm with you and Mary. I heard Fish Wagon.
She heard Fish. She said Fish Wagon and then Yanni. So she texted me.
People are telling me the book is called Gump and Company. Can't be right. It's not called Gump and Company, is it? Please.
I like gumping around a lot.
Yeah,
more.
Gumping around.
Gumping around works way better.
A lot of people hear Fish Wagon.
I'm getting some Fish Wagons on my Twitter.
Alan, I'm a former banker. $10,000 is the most cash you can get without having to file an SAR, which is a suspicious activity report. It's related to anti-money laundering legislation. There you go.
I knew that. I knew they had to report something like us, $10,000 to the IRS.
So Drew, who was on the phone.
I had to take out cash the other day when I bought my dog, so they didn't make me sign anything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, here you go, money bags.
What's the most amount of money you've ever had?
I don't really want to answer. But it's a lot. That's okay. It's a good amount.
Oh, I don't know.
When I was in college.
Millionaire over there. Mm-hmm. Well, Silence Cox.
When I was in college, like, obviously I got my refund check. So the most I've ever seen was, I think it was like $7,800 in my account.
That's crazy.
But that was because I had my refunds from my student loans. So.
Yeah.
So actually, not really your money.
It was in my account.
I spent all my refund checks like that. It was my money.
But I physically saw $7,000. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I can take this out, you know, piss it away, do whatever I want with it. It's my money.
Piss it away.
That's
your first thought.
You guys are making me not as sympathetic towards people that
I didn't, obviously, but I've never seen that much money in my account.
Why would you not be sympathetic? Nobody tells you when you're 18 years old, hey, when you get if you have good parents, hey, if you get a refund check, you should put it towards your loans. I mean, you don't know any different.
I wasn't paying back my loans right away. I had stuff to pay for. I had, like, Roman noodles to buy.
Roman noodles.
And that's not even how you say it.
You say Raymond noodles.
No, it's Roman noodles.
Yeah.
Sounds good for dinner, though.
Which Raymond numeral is this year's Super Bowl, by the way, now that I'm thinking about it? But I got myself off track. I was on Cameo looking around.
Oh, yeah.
And I charge $30 for Cameo. I figure that's safe. It's not too much, not too little, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not bombarded with requests, but I'm happy to do them when people ask. I did it initially as a goof to see if anybody cared. Chris Hansen is on Cameo. To Catch a Predator guy?
Yeah.
Have a seat right over there.
It's like $60. Yeah. I'm clicking around. I'm like, this would be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Got Gwen's birthday present.
I feel like this would be better for Pound Cake, since he's kind of got a history of certain things.
He does, yes. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too, as I was like, I'm going to buy Pound Cake a Chris Hansen Cameo, and I'm going to obviously, you know, you tell him exactly what you want him to say.
Hey, I molest children.
Right.
Have a seat, Pound Cake.
Have a seat.
Hey everyone, Chris Hansen here, and I'm so excited to be on Cameo. Have you ever wanted me to...
I'm so excited to have been a network... personality making millions of dollars a year to now doing $60 Cameo announcements.
Hey.
Because I don't think this is for charity. I think the guy needs money.
He needs cash. Yeah. He's got to pay back all that merch he got made.
Merch money.
Hey everyone, Chris Hansen here, and I'm so excited to be on Cameo. Have you ever wanted me to tell a friend or loved one to have a seat? Or perhaps I've got the transcripts right here? Or maybe, you know, I've heard that once before. Now you can do it here on Cameo.
I love that those are his three, like, a those friend or a loved one.
Yeah.
Right, those are your go-tos. That's what you're known for. What loved one would like to hear Chris Hansen say, I've got the transcripts right here?
You could have some fun with that,
maybe
I think.
Maybe you just got married.
Now listen closely for the guy
and then
in the back.
You have to read the vows. Like
I got
a
the
year
transcripts
long.
Right here
yeah, like,
or
that's
something.
An anniversary present.
That's paper is 1 year.
Boom.
Bam.
But that's not a transcript.
It could be.
No.
Sure.
Transcript is a transcribed conversation on print.
Maybe you need your transcript from a college. And you call into the admissions office and they say, I got your transcripts.
If you said your vows out loud to each other.
And they were transcribed.
And they were transcribed.
Okay, if someone transcribed your vows. Anyway.
Yeah, you'd have to transcribe your vows for him to be able to read them.
Listen for the guy. He's trying to finish his greeting here. Listen for the guy who gets a sneezing fit behind him.
Now you can do it here on Cameo. So I think it'll be a fun way for us to interact and to continue to bring attention to a very worthwhile cause. Check it out on Cameo.
Good looking. He's got the COVID-19 back there right behind Chris Hansen.
You guys don't have to give me anything for my birthday.
When is your birthday?
I'm falling for that one.
Don't worry about
when
it.
When is your birthday?
September.
Sure, what?
I already bought you a Salma Hayek poster. What am I going to do with that now?
September 8th.
Okay. Let me put it in.
Yeah, more people are Team Fish Wagon, so I'm going to go with Fish Wagon.
I'll stick with Station Wagon.
But I love Roman noodles. That's my new favorite. Oh, Pound Cake, you magnificent son of a bitch.
By accident.
Yeah.
Roman noodles.
Girl, the party that you regret starting a conversation with.
Roman noodles.
Oh, so delicious.
Roman noodles in the fish wagon.
Are you trying to make us all uncomfortable? Gross, it's weird, it's not right, it's not cool.
And there's plenty more where that came from. Back to the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
About 7 minutes away for your shot to get yourself to Los Angeles. The 2020 iHeartRadio Music Awards going down at the Shrine Auditorium on the 29th of this month. And 5:30 is going to be your last chance today to text and win a trip. Your next one will be tomorrow morning, 9:30 with Rover. And then Allie's got a shot for you around 1:30, right before we get in here, and then 5:30 on this show. A couple of live Alan Cox Show we'll be doing on the 20th of this month.
Live Alan Cox Show will be doing.
Now, did you hear Fish Wagon or did you hear Roman Noodles when I said that? We'll be doing a couple of on-location shows, two in 2 weeks. The 20th of this month, we're going to be live at the House of Blues, right there in the restaurant for the finals of the Bill Squire Basketball Shootout Challenge. Brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer and WMMS. One lucky winner and their guest will go to Vegas to catch all the college action in April. And so until then, you can head out and meet up with Bill and qualify. This Friday night, he's going to be at On Tap in Medina from 8 to 10. And then Saturday, the whole weekend he's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night, he's at Around the Corner in Lakewood from 8 to 10. Then the finals will be at the Alan Cox Show live broadcast on the 20th. So that's a week from this Friday. We'll be live at the House of Blues. And then we'll be live the next week at Stella's Music Club right downtown for the Tribe opening day. We'll be there from 10 to 2. Part of that will be a broadcast because it's an earlier show. Earlier game, sorry. There's a lot going on. Earlier game that day than the Indians home opener usually is. Usually it's a 4 o'clock game. This year it's a 1 o'clock game because LeBron and the Lakers are in town that night.
Right.
And everybody's got to change everything for LeBron.
Mm-hmm. I even had to change the jersey I bought Grandma. I had to send back the yellow one. She wanted the purple one.
So if you want
no trouble. It was no trouble at all. A little trouble.
Depending on if you're a basketball or baseball fan, we got something for all of you. So the 20th will be live at the House of Blues for the Basketball Shootout Challenge, and then the 26th will be live at Stella's downtown, right across from Progressive Field, if you've never been to Stella. I love that place, by the way.
Stella's, it's great. It's fun.
So we'll be there from 10 to 2 for Tribe opening day on the 26th. They're starting the season against the Detroit Tigers. And you can get yourself 20% off whatever you buy, by the way, at CLE Clothing Company throughout this month if you use the promo code MADNESS. Because of all the basketball madness. You can use it at one of the stores. Use it online, CLEclothingco.com, for the details on that. Did you have more breaking news, Bill, on the...
Alex Jones has reported that he was not drunk, but he was driving erratically because he had just gotten out of a hot tub. And that was affecting his driving.
Right, ability. We mentioned earlier that Alex Jones had been arrested for a DUI. He said he wasn't even legally drunk.
Right.
Now they're reporting that his explanation is he blames it on hot tub use.
Well, I will say, coming from someone who does use a hot tub frequently, if you have like one drink, it can make you feel like
you have... It makes you woozy.
Yeah, I mean, you don't feel it while you're in there, but once you step out, you're like, all right, I'm going to go home and, you know, tuck the kids in. You know, you feel a little woozy, but you're
what
not
that
drunk.
What kind of human beings getting their ass kicked by a hot tub?
Dude, if you have blood pressure issues, like if you have...
Well, I bet he does.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you have blood pressure issues, you're not supposed to be in them to begin with. And the gig I did down in Athens a couple weeks ago, there was a hot tub where we were staying. And completely sober, I sat in there for like 45 minutes. I'm like, I feel woozy and lightheaded. Like, I got to get out of here.
Then this literally means that
this
literally means that all of the nonsense he sells on his show in the form of supplements, he knows are all junk.
Yeah.
You don't think he's got one thing in there for... Hot tub defense.
Jet. It's like jet fuel.
Yeah. It's in a hot tub. Hey, long time those jets. Right up your Roman noodle. You're going to want to get my hot tub defense.
So right, you know, your fish wagon.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
memory pills if you eat a lot of amnesia chili.
I just don't understand why rich people don't do car service. I feel like if I was rich, I wouldn't drive anywhere.
I don't think he has as much, after all those lawsuits.
You don't have to be rich to use an Uber. It costs $12.
I just
wouldn't that take out a regular Uber. He would take an Uber Black.
Because people would know who he is. Like, yeah. Maybe, like, so I even understand that. So,
you just say, hey, people think I'm him all the time. Like, wear a hat. You can, there's no reason for him to drink and drive. But I think it'd be fine. I don't think anyone's going to harass him.
Especially he's in Texas. That's just, like, whatever.
How are you supposed to wear a hat in a hot tub, Bill?
You put it on when you get out.
You don't.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Do you understand that? Turn the freaking frogs gay. Serious crap gay. Frogs, freaking frogs, man. It's not funny. I'm going to say it real slow for you.
That's pretty good, too.
I've not heard that one yet. Gay frogs.
Are you trying to tell me that guy has blood pressure issues?
That's what I'm saying. So there might be some truth to that. If he did have a couple drinks and then sat in a hot tub, he very well might have been woozier.
And by the way...
What it sounds like to me, though, is that he just drinks and drives a lot more often, and he got caught this time because he wasn't on his game 100% because of the hot tub.
Or he hot tubs and drives a lot.
Yeah.
Which is more dangerous.
Oh, boy. For Alex Jones, if he's got those high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. By the way, they say that high blood pressure is one of the things that is really working against people with the coronavirus. You know, they say people are obviously, if their immune systems, if they're older and if their immune systems are compromised at all, they said among those compromises are high blood pressure. I mean, they're figuring out, you know, little bits and pieces of this. Yeah.
To everybody that's out there doing posts like, well, cancer kills more people a day. But we get it, but that's not new.
And it's not sweeping.
And then
the
when people are like, more people die of heart disease than...
Right,
than,
true. Yeah, right,
we know.
But you can't catch cancer or heart disease from your neighbor.
Right.
So,
well,
and by the way, that's also not an excuse to not... Like, that's one of those, like, fake online comments. Yeah,
it
that people make
insane.
That does nothing to... There's no information there. There's no help. It's just you being a schmuck.
Yes, you could also fall down the stairs. That's also a risk.
Yeah.
There's many risks.
More
but
people...
right now, the one that is the affecting people and just people want to prevent is coronavirus.
Yeah. So like businesses are supposed to go, oh, you know what? Let's just open back up because cancer kills more people. It's just not helpful. Yeah. It doesn't do anything.
I saw one about suicide. It was like, suicide kills more people a day, so how about we spread kindness?
I'm well,
like, oh, God.
Well,
because
okay.
It's not contagious.
No, I get it, right?
That's
kindness
why.
Is not contagious.
It is not
why
contagious.
Is that being
spread? You can't spread it. It. People try all the time. It gets shut down immediately.
Yeah, a-holes beat it out of them.
The blood pressure thing, though, that would make sense why little kids weren't being sick from it. I mean, little kids don't generally have blood pressure issues, you know?
Kindness has the half-life of, like,
15 minutes.
Yeah, if any, if that.
If someone does something nice for you, it doesn't make your day better?
I'm not saying, I think it depends on the person, but I'm saying overall when people are trying to spread kindness, it doesn't generally work that way.
A random person picks up your tab at the bar.
I don't think
or
there's...
at the restaurant, at a restaurant, pays
again,
for your
I'm
lunch.
A very grateful person, so I think it goes further for me than, I know there's plenty of people that someone does something kind for them, it's great until the next thing happens, and they have kind of a goldfish mind when it's like, oh, everything bad always happens to me. So when you do something good, they go, oh, great. And then someone bumps into them or doesn't hold the door open for them or something. They'll find a way to be upset again quickly.
I think the more instances in which people can at least attempt to be nicer to people, I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. How come you don't pay it forward and someone buys your coffee?
I have done that before, and I have also not done that before. Again, it just depends on, you know. Please, I'm the last person that anybody...
You. Huh? It does bother you, though.
The pay it forward?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like it bothers you.
It doesn't bother me. I feel like it happens in places where the clientele is the most easily able to pay for... You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody paying it forward...
At an Aldi?
At an Aldi, well...
You're not going to buy somebody's groceries.
You're in a Starbucks line.
Well, that's because it's only $4 or $5.
Not if you get a bunch of crap.
Well, one person is usually what it is. I mean, you're going in, you know, nobody's paying it forward to the guy buying for the whole office. No one's like, I'll take my small black coffee for $1.89 and his whole 30 order, please.
$1.89. The only time I've ever been in a Starbucks line is to get things for other people. So I don't know the ordering. I don't know how much things cost. So when I get up there...
It's like an average of probably $3 to $5 you're not getting anything crazy.
Well, I asked, how much is the guy behind me? And they said $17.
Forget that.
And I said, okay. Because we had just started our holiday vacation. So I was in a good mood.
Yeah.
Now, towards the end of vacation, I was in Michigan.
No way.
Just dropped my daughter off at rehearsal for something. And I said, I'll go get you a tea if you want. She goes, yeah. So I go to Starbucks. That morning, didn't feel like it.
I don't want to.
Oh, yeah. The guy in front of you paid for yours. Cool, thanks. And I peel out.
Bye.
How often do you guys get approached at like a gas station or something like that for someone who's like, hey, I'm just trying to get money for like a Renaissance Inn. Do you think you could spare any type of cash?
For a what?
For a Renaissance Inn. Man, that's a
Renaissance Inn.
That's a very specific request. Well, I got the card, and I need some points.
It's the only place that I have a loyalty program with.
Like that used to happen to me when I would get off the L at home.
Mm-hmm.
There's always people floating around the stairs at the bottom of the L tracks.
I mean,
hey, I'm trying to get a bus back to the suburbs because my cousin's got my car. I'm like, get out of here.
I just don't understand. It happens to me all the time.
It doesn't matter where I am.
It doesn't happen to me. I can't.
It happens to me downtown.
It happens to me downtown, but not when I don't get gas downtown that often.
It's not downtown. It's happened to me in the burbs. It's happened to me like in Cam's Corner because Cam's Corner has that one little BP gas station like right there.
Yeah. And they say they walk across. They'll cross the parking lot to come to you.
And yes, they come specifically to me and they see me there with my raggedy car. I'm next to a guy with like a Volvo. And like a Mini Cooper.
Maybe they figure because they know a guy driving a nice car is going to tell him to go F off.
But like,
they probably come to you because they're like, oh, this brother's felt my pain. People with the money say, screw you.
I'm going to say what I always say. I don't have cash.
But they don't know that.
And then in my head, I'm like, even if I had cash, I wouldn't give it to you. But no, like I'm not. They always find me.
That doesn't happen to me.
It's like I have a stamp on my forehead. Always.
Yeah, I think weird, maybe you have a... I have a don't talk to me face, but you probably have a kind face.
I sure do. And you know, they come up to me and I already know what it is and I walk towards them and I'm like, I'm going to get shot or shanked one of these days because they're like, excuse me, sir. I'm like, yes, are you lost?
Well, don't do that. He's like an old cartoon villain.
I'm like, can I get you some Roman noodles?
What would Jesus do?
I'm hungry. I've got Roman noodles for you.
You need a cinnamon roll? And then
he was right. He was about to get shot. He was going to get shot or shanked. He was right. Well, early on that one.
Yeah.
I don't. That hasn't, I think, ever happened to me.
I don't understand why.
Like East 4th. When I'm going to comedy shows and stuff like that around downtown.
I don't get gas around
people
yet.
Will
no, but people will walk
people
up.
Hit me up all the time, and I'll just be like, no,
I had one time, it was around Christmas of the year before. So Christmas 2018, I was walking into a show and a guy had like a little tin. He's shaking it. And then this family walked past him and he asked them for money and they said no. And he looked at the little kid and he was like, if you don't give me money, Santa's not going to bring you any presents. Like then the kid like looked up at his parents and I'm like, what a way to find out that like Santa isn't real, but addiction is.
Worst elf I've ever met in my life.
Right. He's like sitting out there shaking. He's like, if you don't give me money, Santa's not going to. Because now the parents have to explain so much.
By the way, for parents who might have their kids in the car right now, I don't know what this she's talking about with Santa being fake.
He's got issues and he's
smart. So it's madness, not crazy.
Oh, sorry,
madness.
The madness man downtown.
March craziness.
He's got money madness.
Yeah, I just don't get it. And I'm too damn nice. And like I have half of mine as they walk, like they start walking up. I just want to get in my car and just scurry away.
You gotta find new places to get gas because that never happens to me.
And they're clearly not listeners because if they knew who you were and what you were about, they'd be like, I'm going, giving this guy a wide berth,
walking all the way.
Yep.
Heck, if they were a listener, I'd be like, you know what? Putting up with my mouth, here's a five. Here's a five. I might be more prone if they came up to me and said, pound cake.
Hear that, listeners?
Go introduce yourself to Cody.
Yeah, no, if they came, it would be a totally different ballgame if they came up with the Alan Cox Show sticker and they were like, yo, pound cake, I'm broke AF, hook me up with something. I'd be like, you know what? I may have a little something. Like, I might. If not, I'll let you get
just found the key to his heart, panhandlers.
I'll give you a hit of the pen and you can go on your merry way, but like...
Listen, don't be sharing your pen with anybody.
Especially COVID right now. Come on.
Fair enough.
How did Cody get it? He's letting homeless people smoke his vape pen. Uh-huh. Come on, dude.
He didn't have any cash. They said you want to hit the pen.
Wrong thing.
I think most people would rather, like, you know what? What's the dollar going to do? Let me hit the pin.
Shut up, pound cake.
Yeah. Pound cake does have a kind face, Alan. The kind of face that says, I don't know grammar. Well, that's silly. Alan, what if Alex Jones had been eating chili in the hot tub?
Oh, my God.
I forgot how to drive.
Now he's real messed
Mike
up.
Mike in Parma says, hot tub crime machine. Boy, there you go. I had a patient ask if we buy our hand sanitizer in bulk because she wanted to take one of our bottles home. Today alone, 4 bottles of sanitizer went missing in our office. Just steal soap.
We're so about the hand sanitizer.
Sorry, I'm thinking of the ham sanitizer from yesterday's show.
Hey, just so you know, I got the
H1N1. You don't want a dirty ham.
I got the H1N1 virus, and I was using hand sanitizer, so it might not be helping you guys. So just throwing that out there. I had sanitizer that I walked around with and was petty.
Man,
so.
I saw a video of a little girl like licking a pole, like it was like at
a baseball game or something,
and she just like licking the pole back when the parents aren't paying attention, just going back. I'm like, man, good thing this isn't killing kids, because that kid, whew.
Maybe that's why their immune systems are strong, just licking germs.
Just getting them all in there and flushing them out.
Well, they have a ton of coronavirus cases in Iran. Tehran has ended up being, like, some of the high-ranking members of Iranian government have gotten it, right? So all these dudes are, like, posting videos of themselves licking, like, holy shrines to show that they think, like, the people in Memphis, just pray you're going to get anything.
Right,
and I'm like, oh, my God, licking the shrine, these, you know, millennia-old. Hey, better you than me, Raheem.
They come out with smallpox.
There's a video that's going around online in Singapore. If you have a fever, you don't get it to the country.
Oh my God! Fix it! Sanitize.
By the way, another thing people should know is the sneeze shaming that's going on. That's not even a symptom of coronavirus. But a lot of people don't know, so people are freaking out because of the sneezing. It's like that's not even associated with this. There's a lot of sneeze shaming going on. Yeah, there's sneeze shaming going on, which is nonsense.
I'm gonna lube up anyway.
Lube up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you just put it on your shirt. He's rubbing hand sanitizer on his clothes.
You can never
be too careful. Yeah. Because I sneezed into my arm, so there's molecules
in
there.
What if it bleaches it?
I was going to say, there might be a little bleach in there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Let's get a new one.
Mom, I'm going to break and
you can afford it.
You can sanitize your ham. is, Pound Cake?
I don't.
Take a guess.
I almost said it.
Who?
Is it Phil Collins?
Who do you think it is, Pound Cake?
Lou Rawls.
You know it's not Lou Rawls. Well, you're playing.
Take a guess.
You know it's not Lou Rawls.
I know it's not him, but I also don't know who it is either.
That's the only singer. Mary's right. Phil Collins. Okay. How did you arrive at Phil Collins?
It sounds like every other song he's ever sang.
Oh, boy, that hurts. I saw that. I understand.
No, he's got a sound.
He has a very, yeah. No, but Genesis just announced that they're going to go on a UK tour, and so that got people all excited. And now who the hell knows, you know, with everything else that's going on.
I don't understand how, like, you can book something now, or, like, if you are doing a tour or anything like that, why would you even announce it this year at all? Like, just wait until it blows over, wait until Corona is no more.
Well, because you've
got schedules.
But, yeah, you can't start planning once something's, you know, they're like, well, we're going to, let's do this until they tell us we can't do it.
A lot of the people come out of their pockets and just, you know, spend money. Like, I'm not even talking about, like, the people buying the tickets. I'm talking about, like, the production managers or whatever.
Yeah, promoters and things. I think it's, as far as they're concerned, they're like, it's business as usual until they tell us that we got to do something else. Because it's going to be local municipalities that are going to tell people, you've got to postpone Coachella, or you have to cancel, you know, the mayor of Austin canceled South by Southwest. Which is strange because they could have postponed it, but it was probably, they probably didn't come to that decision easily.
Like, is 2020 just going to be a year of no fun? Like, nobody doing anything?
Going to make your own fun. It'd be a baby boom, for sure.
Can't have orgies. Like,
yes, you can. They're still happening. That's the one thing they're not canceling is orgies.
You just have an orgy, but you go, okay. Do you have coronavirus? Then you go to this orgy over here. If you don't, you can come to this
orgy.
Can a
responsible adult have a responsible orgy? Like, is there
all orgies are responsible.
As long as there's consent, it's responsible.
Name like, one irresponsible orgy.
I just can't imagine, like, a 9-to-5 person just like, yeah, you know, we are a bunch of consenting adults having, you know,
I think that's what a lot of it are. Yeah. That's what a lot of that clientele is people who live pretty basic
lives.
And they've got a wife and they swing, or that's just what they're into.
Every week.
Plow cheeks.
Is that what you say? Yes. Every week.
Hey, Frank, what are you doing this week? Just plowing cheeks. Out there in Massillon.
An orgy's one thing, but a weekly orgy sounds very tiring.
A weekly orgy? You don't have to do the work every time.
I know some people. I know there are certain households that I know of that I'm like, they have an orgy every Wednesday, hump day. Like, they invented it.
Wait.
But then, like, just the preparation, getting your house in order.
Listen, I'm sure that it goes around. It's not at your place every weekend.
What constitutes an orgy?
Forget.
More than three.
That's a foursome. Four or more.
More than four.
More than four.
I'm adding irresponsible orgy to my band list, by the way.
Yeah, if you have more than four, it's a sex party. So, sex party or orgy, whatever you want to call it. Sex party might be a little...
All right. You just said you knew people who do this on the regular.
Yes, I do.
Well, what do they say? How many people are showing up at their house?
Oh, God. Like 6 to 10.
And how do they get the invites out?
Text message. They have a group chat.
Text message. Facebook events.
Hey, orgy. Wednesday night. Do they have a set night?
Hump day.
I think it's just whenever they want to clean
their house. Have you ever asked to be invited?
I was invited. That's how I know.
And you didn't go?
I did go. That's how
you
I
did go.
But this is back in the day, back in my hoe phase. But yeah, they still do it. They're still active.
He was showing his hoe phase.
I was like, is this like an open invitation? Or they're like,
everything was open. The fannies were open. The bums were open. The invitations were
they're
open.
They're like, it's invite only, but you're allowed to bring a plus one to the people that are invited. And I'm like, well, can I bring a plus two? Because I have two friends. I told
them about
it.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
And like, they want to go.
You just start seeing somebody and you're like, hey, I have this event that I get a plus one.
Well, just like you have your...
A plus one.
Mm. I need a plus one for something. Oh, it's like a wedding? Well, things will be married. Juices.
Scents. Fluids.
It's just like with your drinking friends, Mary. Like, you have people that you specifically drink with. I have people that when I go to do my debauchery, like, I know who to call. Like, if I want to go somewhere or do something, I'm like, listen.
You've got an inner circle of other libertines.
And they're used just for that purpose. And I'm like, okay, well, catch on the flip side.
Your whole army.
Yeah. And so he's like, ooh, can I bring a friend? I'm like, okay.
It's well established that dating sites are getting super niche-y, right? Mm-hmm. There's farmers only. There's whatever you want. is one call, and I don't know how old this is. I just saw it today, came across it today. It's dinkyone.com. DINKYONE.com is a small penis dating site.
That is full of men.
That's so degrading, though.
There's no women on that site.
What women are going to be on this site?
That's what I'm saying.
I think it's a place for guys to go to feel like they're in some kind of community. But let me walk you through.
Yeah, please. If you're in the 1%,
because of course
the smallest.
You go, who would possibly think that this would whatever.
It has to be a what? Under, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Connecting those with a smaller penis to those who prefer one.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're selling it to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she's got a short canal. She needs something petite.
No.
If you think you have a smaller than average penis, there's no need to be embarrassed. At Dinky One. Yeah, don't be embarrassed. We just called the site Dinky One. God. DinkyOne.com. Every man has a below average penis size. This means anyone.
Now they have to weed out all the guys getting on there and be like, actually got an average penis.
Get out of here. This is for tiny ones only.
Beat
dinky. It. You got a bully.
Dinky
bully
ones.
Out of there.
Get out of here, Lexington Steel. This is for other people.
That looks like a real knee shooter to me. Yeah. We don't want you here. 50% of the male population will have a penis less than average size, according to them. The global average erect is 5.5 inches. If you are less than that, you are eligible to join us. If you are below average, you are eligible to join us.
How do they verify?
Some men have a micro penis. Dr. Ryan Berglund has talked about this when he's in here from the Cleveland Clinic. This is defined by less than 3.5 inches erect.
Oh, honey.
Micro. If you fall into this group and have struggled with sexual partners in the past, you need to try Dinky One.
This is the...
They couldn't come up with a better name than this.
Well, this is where we've been talking for months about getting dinked down, and now this is where it happens.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
He's the face of this website. Do you need to be dinked down?
The 2020 Engelbert Humperdinck Tour brought to you by DinkyOne.com.
Ladies, are you tired of walking side to side? Do you want to be able to go to your Pilates class the next day? Well, we got just the guy for you.
No chafing, no more bruises on the inner thighs.
Just as there are men who are smaller than average, there are women who are also smaller than average, and they can often find intercourse painful. There are also women who have a fetish interest in small guys, and often they play a dominant role. So there is...
That makes sense to me, like the sub-dom thing,
There will be people who... listen, I think this is out of the UK, but I came across it this morning. Obviously, you can join for free.
Mm-hmm. I got a little dinky one.
Yeah. Oh, no!
Bring your fanny.
So, yeah. You got a tiny fanny.
You got a little short fanny, do you?
I got a bitty wanker.
I got a little dinky wanker I like to put in your fanny.
So, dinkyone.com for any of our customers who are below 5.5 inches erect.
God bless you.
The one thing about having that small of a penis is you know when someone's like a truthful person. Because if there's like a girl that you're
speaking
with.
Speaking from experience?
No. Not at all. I just have a funny bit that I want to do. And so let me get my joke out.
Go ahead.
Yeah, with a girl, and she's, you know, doing some lettuce type stuff, and she's like, oh, you're like, liar.
Nope.
Liar.
Maybe she has a short canal in her throat.
Short canal.
You don't know. Listen, my throat canal.
She's like, oh, how thoughtful are you? You're a nice person to make me feel better.
A tiny canal.
A throat canal.
A man, a plan, a canal. Panama! Why not? 16 miles on the Erie Canal. Well, so they're
but less than 3.5.
That's right. But there is a lot of, you know, there's a lid for every pot there. And so dinkyone.com, if you're looking for guys who are less than well endowed. Speaking of erect penises... Corey Feldman. We'd mentioned this yesterday that the Corey Feldman documentary was finally going to premiere last night. His former companion, Corey Haim, died many years ago. And Corey Feldman, for many years, has been telling this story about how they had been sexually assaulted when they were younger men. By older, more prominent actors. And for many years, he's been trying to make this documentary. But he said, obviously, nobody wanted to make it with him because all of the powerful forces in Hollywood were aligned against him. And so he was going to make it himself. And he's like, nobody wants me to tell this story. And so he finally had this documentary, and he said, Hollywood will be terrified when I tell you who these people are. Now, his obvious trauma aside, I don't think anybody was expecting anything big out of this. The rumors have been flying around for a long time about who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
Not new information. So we mentioned yesterday that he was finally going to be premiering this documentary 8 p.m. Pacific last night, 11 o'clock here. If you're in our audience and you actually paid $20 a head to watch this, because that's what it was, you had to buy an e-ticket for $20 and then stream it at his website. He said, I will finally name the people who raped me and Corey. The documentary is called My Truth, The Rape of Two Coreys. So, listen, catchy. They say, movie one-sheet posters, you got to tell people what the movie's about with the photo, and right?
Mm-hmm.
Encapsulates what it's about. He said Charlie Sheen raped him while making the 1986 film Lucas. Now, again...
No, he said that Charlie Sheen raped Corey Haim.
Corey Haim.
Yeah.
That's been out there for a long time, that allegedly... Charlie Sheen, of course, says that's absolutely nonsense. And there was another... And I said yesterday, it's going to be names of people you've never heard of.
Right.
But Charlie Sheen is the one getting the attention. He's like, that's crazy. I was 19, they were 50. I had no interest in that whatsoever. So again, and people are hitting me up, they're like, you said be somebody you never heard of. Yeah, the Charlie Sheen thing has been around for 20 years. Never been corroborated. Only person saying that is Corey Feldman. Now, is that because the Hollywood machine
is protecting Charlie Sheen?
I was going to say,
Charlie Machine.
What he's doing for Hollywood now. Why would they protect him?
Is he still in jail? Was he ever in jail?
Charlie Sheen was never in
jail.
Not
in jail.
Really?
He's been arrested.
He still has the HIV, but he's fine.
He says, Charlie bent me over in between two trailers and put Crisco oil on my butt and did it in broad daylight. Anybody could have walked by. Anybody could have seen it. He says Corey Haim was 13 and Charlie Sheen was 19 when they worked on a movie called Lucas.
But see, that's very specific. Why would he make that up? Why would
you can
he
make I'm not
but
first
why
of all,
he?
I don't know anything about this. I'm just saying that it's not, if you're charging people $20 a head because you're finally going to blow the lid off this, Corey Feldman's been talking about this Hollywood pedophile ring for 20 years, right? First of all, 13 is not legally defined as pedophilia. Pedophilia is when you like little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, that's probably a differentiation without a difference, but whatever. This is, you can charge people $20. Give me something new, man. Charlie Sheen. Come on, that's old news. We played the Charlie Sheen game, and we did. There was a Corey Haim thing in it.
The Crisco thing seems weird to me. Like,
where do you even get Crisco?
Because
on set of a movie,
you're going to craft services. Like, anybody using the get done with this Crisco?
Who has Crisco?
Well, Charlie Sheen, though. I mean, this he was
slammed. That's when Crisco was around.
He was effing. Yeah, it's era appropriate.
And he could have been on drugs and all that too. So maybe Charlie Sheen doesn't even remember. But I don't discredit, you know, Corey's statement saying that he didn't do it. Like, he could have.
Because they're like, and again, I didn't watch this documentary. If you did watch it, you can probably fill in the blanks here. Several other people in the documentary also claimed that either Haim directly told them he had been abused by Sheen, or they had heard word of it from others years later. And one of the people they talked to is Corey Feldman's ex-wife. Well, of course, she's heard the story, because that's all he's been telling, is this story for 20 years. You'd certainly think that other male actors would have come forward if Charlie Sheen were guilty of this.
NDAs?
NDA. Why does he think NDAs are like the be-all, end-all for
and
keeping
at
people
19,
quiet?
Nobody's making you sign an NDA when they're 19 years old.
Yeah, he wasn't a star yet.
And NDAs are broken all the time.
This is always so tough because it's like...
It's a story, yeah.
You can't tell people what they experienced was or wasn't. If there's no eyewitnesses and they say this is what happened, you can't tell them that they're wrong.
I just don't understand how, out of all the people, he would just throw Charlie Sheen's name out there. Like, if he wasn't guilty of anything, why would he...
Well, he named three other guys, and these are the people you've never heard of. He named actor John Grisham, nightclub owner Alfie Hoffman, former talent manager Marty Weiss. And he also said Dominic Brascia, a former actor who died 2 years ago, had sexually abused him. And one of these guys was like, I'm tired of telling everyone that it's not true, so I'm not going to say anything anymore. I've been saying this isn't true for years. And that's my point. All these names have been in these circles for a long time. So if Corey Feldman is charging people $20 a pop...
So your issue is more that he's charging people and hasn't said anything new. Not that he
did this. Yeah, I don't know anything about
yeah.
it. Yeah. I just don't know who this was for.
Yeah.
I just don't know why would he make it up? Years of all this trauma. Like,
that's what
why?
They say about women who accuse Harvey Weinstein. Why would she make it up? Why would he make it up? Why would anybody lie?
We see where Harvey Weinstein is now. Is what
I'm saying.
He's
falling over.
The difference is he didn't act long enough. He didn't have enough money. He didn't have enough clout in the industry, and he couldn't take down that machine. So, I mean,
by the way, the thing didn't go very smoothly either because some people did buy tickets, but 45 minutes later, the stream had still not begun online. And he said, of course, hackers were trying to prevent the stream from
airing.
See,
that's the kind of thing that...
This guy's got a lot.
Yeah.
I don't want to be mean. So it's one of those, like, you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all, but it just seems like there's a lot of plates spinning here, and he needed money.
Is he eating off those plates?
He might be.
All you can do is lend near. That's all you can do.
And you seem oddly sympathetic, because I feel like you're not this sympathetic when it comes to things like the R. Kelly accusers and
I didn't say anything about the R. Kelly accusers. I watched the whole documentary.
What about like the Michael Jackson accusers?
He doesn't believe them.
That's not what I said.
He said all you can do is lend an ear.
I didn't say that those accusers were wrong. I didn't discredit their experience. I said I have to separate because I love Michael Jackson as an artist, but as a human being, I don't know him, so I don't.
Are you
I don't
able
know
to do that with Corey Feldman? Can you still watch License to Drive?
Can you still watch Dream a Little Dream, separate the man from the artist?
Or, I mean...
Bring it. Bingo. Boom. Damn. What did Charlie Sheen say?
Go. Only Charlie Sheen, can you still watch 2 and a Half Men and enjoy
yes.
it?
Yes.
Well, here's the other thing.
Can you still watch Hot Shots?
When this guy, if he's clearly got all this kind of trauma and stuff, it might be from when, if this happened to him when he was 13 years old. And this is what messed him up for the rest of his life. He couldn't, you know, cope with it.
I think something happened to him. I believe that these guys may have been involved.
I was saying, but what name would he bring up that would be like, oh, okay, now we believe this guy?
But again, I'm not saying I don't believe him. I'm saying he's fighting this battle without any, like, in a very strange way, where he's...
It's the only way he knows how.
He didn't have to charge people to do that.
He could put it out on YouTube.
But how else are you going to form a line of defense? Like, if you have to...
He could have released it for free.
But if this ends up going to court, he's releasing names. Now he can get into lawsuits. He can get sued for defamation or
slander.
That's
got nothing to do with him charging people to watch it. So he held...
He called all these people out before, like Alan said.
He held a screening of this in L.A., last night, while this was supposed to be streaming. Celebrity guests included Rosanna Arquette, Dave Navarro, Chris Kattan, Ron Jeremy, and Jamie Kennedy. Boy, there's a red carpet for this thing.
I get what you're saying, though, Cody, because this is such a sensitive subject that you got to believe him, you know?
I mean, you don't have to believe him. I'm just saying don't completely just write him off.
I'm not.
He's not a weirdo in the industry.
I'm not writing him off. Nobody's writing him off. Well, I wrote him off as a musician, but I'm not writing him off. I'm just saying that none of this was new.
I'm just saying people...
And you're selling this documentary to people as, this is blowing... I finally got my documentary made.
Work. Like, he still doesn't want to work for free.
But if he were in
no
the
one
interest,
asked him to do this. This is a vanity project in the broadest sense. But nobody asked for this.
If he wanted,
if you're
going to
charge
that,
people $20 a head,
right?
Right.
That's what I take issue with.
I'm sure anybody who bought a ticket was out of morbid curiosity. But
you could put it on YouTube. And again, like Alan said, he's named these. Like he was on Dr. Oz one time, and he named that Alfie Hoffman guy.
Yeah,
and then the Charlie Sheen thing's been out there for years. These things have all been out there, so for him to do this event and charge $20 to see it, when you could put it on YouTube for free,
I don't see
what the point of, like a cash grab kind of situation.
I was going to say, did it say how many he sold?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I will say,
though, make more money if he put it on YouTube, because then everybody would go at least take a look at it.
I will give him credit, though, for probably having one of the greatest names for a memoir ever, 2013, his book, choreography. All right.
He should go to jail just for that.
Give me my money back. Yeah.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink, unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.